for prostitution-related charges? Just a quick word.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. People who've been on the side of the music mogul, they have said that the charges that have been levied at him have been too extreme. I'm in a generation of women that have understood that Sean Diddy Combs has never been a good actor. He has been a larger than life figure in American entertainment, but I think this is,
justice has been served. Thank you so much.
It really has.
Thank you so much, Rina Shah, geopolitical advisor. That's all I've got time for. If you've missed any of today's show, you can listen back on all the usual apps and as we always say, so you must download it for free from your app store now, coming up at 1 on LBC. It's Clive Bull, but now it's 10 p.m. time for Nick Abbott.
Thanks, Rachel. So as you've been hearing, Hamas said it would agree to some aspects of President Donald Trump's plan to end the Gaza war, including releasing hostages and handing over administration of the enclave. But it will seek negotiations over many of its other terms, which is probably not what Donald Trump wants and is probably not what Benjamin Netanyahu was expecting. So we'll get into it after the news at 10. This is LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Hamas is saying it will agree to some aspects of President Trump's plan to end the war in Gaza, including the release of hostages. It also says it will hand over the administration of the territory, but still wants negotiations over many elements of Washington's 20-point peace plan. Confusion, however, remains on whether Hamas will disarm. The Middle East correspondent at The Economist, Greg Karlstrom, has been telling LBC he is staying cautious.
They've said they're going to release the hostages if negotiations over the details of the agreement are successful, and those negotiations have yet to even begin. And then it also says that they're only prepared to release the hostages if it ensures a complete Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. The problem with that is the plan, as it was presented on Monday at the White House, does not call for a full Israeli withdrawal.
Tonight's announcement from Hamas came after President Trump imposed a deadline for a response of 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. He'd warned the group all hell would break loose if it didn't sign what was being described as a last chance agreement. The Middle Eastern journalist Nogata Napolsky has been telling LBC the news may have wrong-footed Benjamin Netanyahu's government.
This Hamas response is very positive but also very complex. And the Israeli government was not really hiding the fact that they were expecting Hamas to say no. So I'm not sure we're going to get any reactions publicly before the morning.
Full coverage of this developing news over the next couple of hours with Nick Abbott here on LBC. The number of people being held by detectives over the Manchester synagogue attack has now risen to 6. Greater Manchester Police says a man and 2 more women have now been detained. Jihad al-Shami drove a car into people at Crumpsall before stabbing his victims on Thursday morning. And in the last half hour, the US rapper Sean Diddy Combs has been sentenced to more than 4 years in prison for 2 prostitution-related offences. The 55-year-old was convicted in July but was cleared of the more serious charges of sex trafficking and racketeering. Chloe Mellas from NBC News in the US says the sentence could have been much longer.
Sean Combs was facing life in prison, okay? There was a 2-month highly watched trial all over the world for 2 counts of sex trafficking and racketeering conspiracy. He could have gone to prison for potentially the rest of his life. And remember, the mandatory maximum here was 20 years. Although this is a blow to Sean Combs's legal team, this is actually a good day for Sean Combs.
In the city, the FTSE 100 has closed up 63 points at 94.91. The pound will buy $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, stormy for northern parts of the UK overnight. Heavy rain will also move across much of the country and we'll see a low of around 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Good
Good evening. Donald Trump's plan to end the war in Gaza has been accepted in part by the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and now accepted in part by Hamas, who said it would agree to some aspects of Trump's plan to end the war, including releasing hostages and handing over administration of the enclave, but that it wants negotiations over many of its other terms, which is not what Donald Trump was demanding. And Hamas' acceptance of this is perhaps not what Benjamin Netanyahu was expecting. Let's talk about this to Alan Fisher-Elan. He's a freelance journalist and is on the line from Israel at the moment. Hello, Alan.
Hello, how are you? Good evening.
Yeah, very well, thanks. So what are your thoughts about this?
It's in a sense, I'm not sure how unexpected we could say this response was, given that Trump had jacked up the pressure on Hamas to submit some kind of a response by Sunday evening New York time. So in that sense, Hamas has had a few carrots in this deal, still has a few carrots in this deal. Probably the biggest one is that many of its prisoners, prisoners who are serving life sentences for killing, for capital offenses, these people would go free under this deal. And this is probably one of the best, Israeli commentators have been saying that this is probably one of the best deals they've been offered ever, and which they would ever probably receive ever. So this is a really big temptation for Hamas in that sense. However, there are, of course, many things in the deal that are not necessarily according to Hamas's liking. For instance, the call that they would not remain in charge in Gaza, that they would have to, you know, that they would have to be replaced in Gaza. And this is seen as one of the elements that they would want to negotiate. And now the question is, though, that Trump made it sound as though the deal was, you take it or leave it. So the question is whether Mr. Trump is going to agree to negotiate the terms. I understand that the U.S. president is about to issue some sort of a response. I don't know that he has as we are speaking now.
I think it's yet to come.
Yeah, so it's yet to come. And then my other feeling is that Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, is probably not going to issue a response until he hears what Trump has to say. Since this entire deal is actually kind of being orchestrated by the U.S. president. And Israel is also kind of a bit beholden to it in that regard. So I think that until President Trump has spoken, I don't think that we will probably hear very quickly from Israel. I haven't even seen any leaks from Israeli officials or anything so far. We'll see how long that lasts.
Do you think that this is what Benjamin Netanyahu was expecting, or has he been blindsided by Hamas' agreement in part to these terms?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that it's that big a surprise, in a sense, because basically Hamas is saying, okay, we'll free all the hostages. And I think that in their statement, they basically say straight out that, you know, they understand that their top prisoners would also be released from prison. So that, in that sense, that wouldn't really be a big surprise. And the other thing is the fact that they're not actually agreeing to the terms of a ceasefire yet. They're not agreeing to to be deposed or to be disarmed. To have their weapons confiscated. And these are really kind of the key elements or the key conditions that Israel has set for ending this 2-year war.
What do you make of the timeline? Because, you know, it's quite a short period of time to read the proposal, digest it, and come up with a counter proposal.
It would appear that way. On the other hand, these talks have been going on for so long, and, you know, we can only guess how long they've actually continued behind the scenes. both before and after and since Trump's announcement on earlier this week, that, you know, and all the issues have been basically the same issues now for the past 2 years as well. So in that sense, you know, you wouldn't think it's a matter of how the players want to present it, I think, more than an issue of actually deciding, okay, what do we do now?
You know, the 20-point plan did leave the door open for a Palestinian state. But yes. Benjamin Netanyahu has insisted yes. that he would strongly oppose such a thing. So where can they go from there?
Well, first of all, the points themselves do not actually say straight out that leaves the door open to a Palestinian state, even though that's certainly obviously the case, right? So be a lot more discussion probably about that. On the other hand, I think that most Israelis understand realistically that somewhere down the line, this is in the cards, that this is something that's going to probably happen. In the meantime, keep in mind that Netanyahu's hardline government has really been jacking up the pressure in the occupied West Bank as well, seizing more land and et cetera, and seeking to build more settlements to cement their control. So I think that they'll just, they're setting facts in the field, so to speak, facts on the ground to make it more difficult to slice up the territory.
You know, many people have suggested that Benjamin Netanyahu is interested in a continuing war, almost regardless of where, you know, which point on the compass he's directing the aggression, in order mm-hmm. to stay in power. Because, of course, he has a lot of pending legal problems that might
yeah.
actually, if it's possible, that he might go to jail. So it's not really in his personal interest for the war to stop, is it?
In a sense not. However, you know, you have to sort of balance this out with the fact that the war is beginning. You know, it was fairly popular among most of the Israeli population, but it's as the casualties mount. Now, there's been more than 900 soldiers killed in addition to the 1,200 people who were murdered on the day of the October 7th attacks by Hamas. You know, and with minimal, real progress on the ground in Gaza, the situation is, you know, but aside from, yes, Gaza has been pretty much destroyed. Much of it has been destroyed, and there are many, many casualties in Gaza, tens of thousands of people. But otherwise, this hasn't been really, you know, it's kind of like a checkmate there. There's no real progress or decision. The word is decision. It hasn't exactly been decisive. And now what hangs in the balance is whether Netanyahu will achieve his ultimate goal of toppling Hamas from power in Gaza. Were he to be able to somehow do this through this deal, this is something that could also help keep him in power. Also keep in mind, he's still way ahead of all of his competitors in all the opinion polls, ahead of an election expected late next year. So, there is this sort of balancing act there, too.
There have been many protests against his rule, though. What's been the nature mm-hmm. of those? What is it specifically that people are calling for?
The protests?
Yeah.
The protests basically have been calling for, first of all, demanding the release of the hostages. That's been a real sore point here. The fact that, you know, people were just sort of like abducted from their homes, and there they are 2 years later, and they're still in captivity. So this has been a really real sore point. But truth is, the protests in Israel against the war, I think, as everyone has noticed, a couple of the protests have actually swelled in size to, like, I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred thousand people. But that's been kind of the size of it. They haven't been really massive. They have been somewhat disruptive, yes, but not really, really massive. You don't see, you know, a really significant segment of the Israeli population out in the streets protesting. So they've been very limited in this regard. I think here, if, you know, with a deal to release all the hostages and to also be toppling Hamas from power, I think that that could change, and there would be much more sentiment in favor of doing this kind of a deal, and you know, put pressure on Netanyahu to go ahead with it.
Very good to talk to you, Alan. Thanks so much for your time. That's Alan Fisher-Eland, freelance journalist, talking to us there from Israel. We're going to get some more guests shortly and get your thoughts on what you've heard so far. The latest is that Hamas said it would agree to some aspects of Donald Trump's plan to end the Gaza war, including releasing the hostages and handing over the administration of Gaza, but that it is seeking negotiations over many of its other terms, which, as I said before, is probably not what Donald Trump wanted. And, we haven't actually heard from the Israeli government about this yet, so we don't know whether they are, they will take the opinion that you have to accept all of the proposals, the 20 points, or none. 0345-6060-973 LBC.
LBC.
With an Amex business card, Selena's earning points renovating her skin clinic and refreshing the builders.
14 coffees and 28 sugars, please.
And on new adjustable chairs for every room. And she can use the points to lie back and relax.
Don't put ice cream on your brother's head.
Well, sometimes. And that's because with an Amex business card, your points can go towards holidays and more.
Search Amex Business Card. Terms and annual fees apply. 18 plus. Subject to status. Basic card also available with no annual fee, rewards, or other features.
Running a ceramic studio is all about balance, right, Nina?
Absolutely. That's why my business deserves the new iPhone 17 Pro. It can help me handle even the busiest workday, from planning my classes to keeping my kiln on track, so my business still holds shape.
The all-new iPhone 17 Pro? As pro as your work demands. Your business deserves the most powerful iPhone on EE, the UK's best network. BT and EE, better for business.
Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
Now, listen carefully. I want you to think of selling your car. Who's going to buy that car? Keep thinking. Struggling to know where to look? Motorway, there are 7,500 verified dealers who are ready and waiting to bid on your car. It's not magic, it's Motorway. Sell your car today at motorway.co.uk.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
So tonight we're talking about Hamas, Gaza, Israel. Hamas issued its response to Trump's 20-point plan after Trump gave the Palestinian militant group until Sunday to accept or reject the proposal. And they've done neither in full. They've accepted some parts of it. Trump has not said whether the terms would be subject to negotiation as Hamas is seeking. And one of the things that Hamas are not unequivocal about is whether they would agree to a stipulation that it disarm. This is a demand by Israel and the US that it has previously rejected. 0345-6060-973. What do you make of all this? Let's talk with Dr. Arash Azizi. Dr. Azizi is a lecturer at Yale University who is the author of the book What Iranians Want, Women, Life, Freedom. Good talking to you again, Dr. Azizi.
It's great talking to you.
What are your thoughts on what you've heard today?
You know, it's significant that President Trump posted the Hamas statement on his social media account. That suggests that he's not entirely negative on it. And while, unfortunately, we've seen this movie many times before, when, you know, it looks like we are about to get an agreement, but Hamas is sort of conditioning, or Israel is conditioning, the sort of a yes-but phenomenon that both Netanyahu and Hamas have shown in previous efforts. You know, it does make one less hopeful, but it looks like there is a process And yeah, you know, as you rightly said, Hamas hasn't agreed to disarm yet, but it has agreed in principle to two important things. One is releasing all the hostages, which would be a very important milestone if it happens. And the other is giving up its rule in Gaza and allowing a Palestinian, you know, independent government to take over in Gaza of some sort. So I think these are significant. Hamas, of course, is utterly defeated. It faces a lot of anger on the Gazan street. A lot of Palestinians are angry at Hamas. There is an overwhelming desire to end the war. And if Hamas is seen as being, you know, not, you know, doing anything that would jeopardize that, it will face a lot more anger from Palestinians, its own constituents. And it has lost the war and has to sort of see a way out. And, you know, not just Palestinians, also Arab countries, of course, that had an important role. So I think, you know, if one wants to be optimistic and realistic at the same time, I think what I see in the statement and the reception that I mentioned President Trump had is that the door is not closed to a possibility of an agreement. Or at least, you know, it's 21 steps, right? 21 steps, at least getting the first couple of two out of the way, see the release of the hostages, and then starting to, you know, end the war in Gaza, and for the Israelis to withdraw from at least parts of the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, what do you make of this idea of a transitional government of technocrats?
I mean, it's something like that is always was going to be necessary. Like, it was, if you ask me this question, you know, 2 weeks after October 7th, when the war had started, it was clear that probably, you know, you're not going to have Hamas at the end of the day. So you're going to have some sort of a technocratic government. The Palestinian Authority itself is a rather technocratic government, actually, right? So something that is supported by the international community and by the Arab world, by the Arab League, by, you know, by the Saudis and a couple of big powers is what is necessary. You know, after all, Bosnia is still run by a, you know, UN appointee 30 years after the war has ended. And we haven't had another war in Bosnia. So, yes, while it's like having foreign powers, that doesn't sort of sound democratic. It's better than Israel's occupation, and it's better than eternal war. So, yeah, I think a lot of people will welcome that. And frankly, Gaza needs, obviously, rebuilding more than anything. This place is utterly, utterly destroyed more than any really other place you can think of in modern times. You know, in the past three decades, at least, no place has been as utterly destroyed. It would take billions of dollars to rebuild the place, and you're going to need, you know, you're going to need to have international pulling, and you're going to need to have a technocrat. Thankfully, Palestinians are very talented people with tons of talented, you know, bureaucrats, bankers and others from around the world in the Palestinian diaspora, or those currently serving in Palestinian, you know, the authority, that could help make that happen, as with the help of the Arab countries.
And what do you make with of the way in which Donald Trump has sort of inserted himself into the proposals? Because this technocratic governing body that we've just been talking about is chaired by, or so the proposal goes, President Donald Trump, and the economic development plan will be Trump's economic development plan.
Well, frankly, we know this is how President Trump does things. We know that it's all about him, that he wants things to be named after him, and he wants to get credit for it. That's something that we all know. Is obviously not a very pleasant thing from most rational standpoints. However, I think the way everybody in the world, you know, deals with Donald Trump is, okay, how do we get him, how do we give him what he wants, put his name on it, so that he will, you know, he's the most powerful man in the world as a president of the United States, right? And someone who also, to give him credit, is willing to go where others are afraid to go sometimes. He's someone who is ready to be unconventional, which frankly, in a protracted conflict like this, is a positive thing sometimes. Can be a negative thing, because then he will endorse crazy things like ethnic cleansing of Gaza that he has in the past, but can also be a positive thing at that point. He might end up being someone who pressures Israel in the way that no U.S. president has since the 1990s, at least, frankly. So, you know, these are positive things. But, yeah, so I think I wouldn't worry. Name it Trumpia instead of Gaza. if we can get the goals that we want. You know, I remember when the COVID, you know, in the first administration, when the COVID vaccine was going on, some people suggested, you know, let's call it the Trump vaccine, and then he'll be in favor of it, and he'll make it happen. faster, and obviously people will not die. And it's the same thing here. I think it doesn't matter. Name it whatever, you know, name it after him, put him in charge, so long as it's a sound plan that stops the killing and provides a future for Gaza and Palestine, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about because number 10 in the proposal list is a Trump economic development plan to rebuild and energize Gaza. Well, the last time we heard of a Trump economic development plan to rebuild and energize Gaza, it was going to be a beachside Trump-branded resort.
That's right. And, you know, and sort of endorsing the expelling of Palestinians, which would be a grave war crime, ethnic cleansing. But at the same time, Trump sort of said that, and he insisted on it. But obviously, he knows this is Arab partners, that he also cares about countries in the Gulf, where he also has a lot of economic benefits. They want to stand for something like that. So I would say, look, during the UN, I spoke to tons of Arab diplomats from different countries in the region. A lot of them had cautiously optimistic hopes for this plan. So obviously they're not going to stand for anything that would ethnically cleanse Gazans. No, but if you go back again to the first term, there were all sorts of plans. There was the Bahrain Economic Conference about the future of Israel-Palestine. This was before the war, of course. So it involved a lot of shiny developments, and Jared Kushner at the time was pushing it, but also not displacing people. So I think it's positive. There's nothing, so you can build a lot of condos, build a lot of seaside property the way Donald Trump wants. After all, what else is in, Dubai and others, right? Other places are similar. So long as it involves Palestinians, in both decision-making and that they sort of benefit from it, at least partially.
You know, when you're doing up your house, it's very difficult to live in the house while builders are, doing what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Could you also say the same for Gaza? Because it seems to be utterly destroyed. Can Gazans live in Gaza while it is redeveloped?
Well, they're living there now. Surely if the war stops and the redevelopment is happening, it won't be as bad as now. Gaza Strip, they can be temporary. You do what you do when there are earthquakes and other natural calamities, right? They can be prefabricated houses, hopefully something better than tents. But a lot of people are living in tents now, in corners of Gaza. So when one part is being developed, they can live in other parts. What we cannot have, though, is pushing people out of Gaza, because it's very clear where that would, what that means, right? Palestinians are already effectively a stateless people. Their state is recognized by most countries in the world, thankfully, not including the United Kingdom, but its territory is occupied by Israel, obviously. So pushing them out means creating other eternal refugees. And you have to remember, there are millions of Palestinian refugees in Jordan, in Lebanon, in Syria, where they have lived generation upon generation, being stateless, and hoping one day they could return to their own country. So adding 2 million more people to that list is in nobody's benefit and won't make any Arab country happy either.
I was just looking at number 14 on this list of 20 proposals. Mm-hmm. It says a guarantee will be provided by regional partners to ensure that Hamas mm-hmm. and their factions comply with their obligations, and that New Gaza, which is what they're calling it, poses no threat to its neighbors or its people. Who are those regional partners that would ensure that?
Egypt and Jordan are the most important ones. They're the neighbors of the Palestinian territories. Saudi Arabia is another important one, along with the other 5 members of the Gulf Cooperation Council, so that United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Oman, Kuwait. A lot of these states have relations with Israel. That includes Bahrain and UAE. Saudis don't have relations with Israel, but obviously they are the big prize. Israel hopes to one day have relations with them. But the other important thing is they have excellent, excellent relations with President Trump. President Trump's speech in Riyadh earlier this year was really a historic moment in the Middle East in many ways. It was declaration of sort of a new set of alliances. Let's not forget what President Trump has done for the Syria's new administration, which is supported by a lot of these Gulf countries. He welcomed Ahmad al-Shah, president of Syria, called him handsome a couple of times, treated him at the UN. His allies are pushing to lift up the sanctions, hopefully, against the new Syria administration. So, Trump definitely does have you know, does have some substantive links with the Gulf countries, and the Jordan and Egypt both have good links with these countries. Look, what we have now that I think is very important, for the first time in a long time, we have something of a united Arab option, that we have the 22 Arab countries are speaking more or less with a united voice. This is a very important development, because what we haven't had for decades is this. We have had an Arab world that is more involved in fighting amongst itself than fighting for itself and for its interests. So a united Arab world in which there are, you know, there are prosperous Arab countries. Unfortunately, they're authoritarian. You know, they're not democratic. But at the same time, there are countries, a lot of them are doing relatively well. They have good links with Washington, and hopefully they can deliver for their brethren in Palestine, which is also an Arabic country, of course. And the other important part is that for the last couple of decades, the other negative thing that was happening was that Iran, the Iranian regime, which is the Islamist regime, intervened in a lot of these Arab countries, effectively messed them up, right? It's never going to be a good, I mean, imagine if Labour Party or the Conservatives were funded and armed by France or Germany, nobody would like it in Britain. So that has been a situation that Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, and other countries in the region have had to put up with, that a big part of the politics is controlled by Iran. And that network of Iranian militias effectively lies in ruins now, which means there's more power for the Arab countries. They have a freer hand. And in fact, Iran now has good diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia, with a lot of other countries in the region. So Iran can't play the spoiler role that it has before, which brings me to this, you know, point that you mentioned. The Arab countries can indeed guarantee that they'll be able to force Hamas to, which is supported also by Iran, to do its obligations, right? Hamas, there is no reason for Hamas to be forever a sort of Iranian proxy. It's an ideologically Sunni, you know, movement, actually, which puts it at odds with Iran's Shia rulers. For example, in the Syrian civil war, Hamas effectively divorced Iran and did not support its line against, you know, against the Syrian revolution. Back in the day, it was brought back to the fold later. So my point is to say that this point that you read does sound very plausible and reasonable and likely. I think the Arab countries will be able to deliver Palestine if they are given the chance.
Very good to talk to you, Doctor. Thanks so much for your time. Dr. Arash Azizi, lecturer at Yale University, author of the book What Iranians Want, Women, Life, Freedom. It's just past 10:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Hamas is saying it accepts some elements of Donald Trump's peace proposal for Gaza, but others require negotiation. The group says it will agree to the release of all remaining hostages after the US president imposed a response deadline of 6 p.m. on Sunday. The number of people being held by detectives over the Manchester synagogue attack has now risen to 6. Greater Manchester Police says a man and two more women have been detained after Jihad al-Shami's atrocity on Thursday morning. And the US rapper Sean Diddy Combs has been sentenced to more than 4 years in prison for two prostitution-related offences. The 55-year-old was convicted in July, but was cleared of more serious charges. LBC weather, stormy for northern parts of the country overnight, especially for western and northern Scotland. Heavy rain will also move across much of the UK before clear spells and blustery showers develop. We'll see a low of around 8 degrees.
This is LBC.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Don't leave it to the last minute. Buy your advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay, but I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO, do energy differently. Beyond customers only, eligibility required, redemption limits apply.
With an Amex business card, Selena's earning points renovating her skin clinic and refreshing the builders.
14 coffees and 28 sugars, please.
and on new adjustable chairs for every room. And she can use the points to lie back and relax.
Don't put ice cream on your brother's head.
Well, sometimes. And that's because with an Amex business card, your points can go towards holidays and more.
Search Amex business card. Terms and annual fees apply. 18 plus. Subject to status. Basic card also available with no annual fee, rewards or other features.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
So, as you've been hearing, Hamas said it would agree to some aspects of Donald Trump's plan to end the Gaza war. Benjamin Netanyahu said that the deal achieved all of the goals and objectives that the Israeli government set out back in October 2023, when Netanyahu said the main objective was to defeat Hamas politically and militarily to ensure that Gaza no longer poses a threat to Israel. That's his words. And to release all of the remaining captives. And on that, Hamas have said that the 72 hours that Donald Trump's plan insists on for the release of the captives is unreasonable in such a short period of time. So what are your thoughts on this? 0345 6060 973. Richmond, hello, Fred.
Hi, Nick. Just a few points. There is something which is not on that plan that someone alluded to on one of the reports that said 500,000 Palestinians will be moved out.
No, I think the plan suggests that no one has to move out.
Well, no, the plan says that, I agree. But someone alluded to the fact that when they looked into detail, I don't know how they got to the information, but apparently in the plan there is 500,000 Palestinians to be moved out. But that's beside the point. It's not being mentioned.
Well, it says here, this is point 12, it says one will be forced to leave Gaza, and those who wish to leave will be free to do so and free to return.
Yeah, but that's what Trump said yesterday. Today it might be different.
Well, that's true.
Anyway, second thing is the fact that Trump, I think in the plan, if I'm not mistaken, Trump has declared that he will be in charge of it.
Trump is going to be the chair of the board of peace is what they're calling it. Yes.
He'll be in charge. So what I detect here with my little nose is a bit of a scam going on. They're going to scam the reconstruction, just like they did in Iraq. In Iraq, they distributed billions without making any reference to who the money was given to. So I get a feeling they're going to a lot of money out of it, but that's neither here nor there. Now, in the plan, there is no complete withdrawal of Israel. And there is no mention that Israel will no longer be blockaded. Gaza will no longer be blockaded.
Well, point 16 says Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza as the International Stabilization Force establishes control and stability. The Israeli Defense Forces will withdraw based on standards, milestones and timeframes linked to demilitarization that will be agreed upon between the IDF, the ISF, the International Stabilization Force, and the US.
It actually says complete.
It says, because that's not what the plan says. It doesn't say complete. It says Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza.
Okay. I think they're going to keep something like 10-mile strip all around the fence of the Gazan side, but that's neither here nor there. One other thing here is the hostages. People talk about how many hostages have not been released and so on.
Yeah, just before you get on that, I can confirm what you just said seems to be right. I don't know about the 10-mile part, but it says the transitional authority practically, it says the IDF will progressively hand over the Gaza territory it occupies to the International Stabilization Force according to an agreement they'll make with the transitional authority until they are withdrawn completely from Gaza, save for a security perimeter presence that will remain until Gaza is properly secure from any resurgent terror threat. Well, that's a bit vague.
Yes, it is very vague. One other thing I want to bring in here is the number of hostages that have got to be released. There's something like, I don't know, 20 live hostages.
Yeah.
But there is something like 10,000 hostages being held in Israeli camps. And nobody ever mentions those poor souls. And they're not prisoners.
And, well, there's thousands in actual prison. Some of whom they had no representation in court and life sentences for things, including, I think, throwing stones. But it references that. It says Israel will release 250 life sentence prisoners plus 1,700 Gazans who were detained after the 7th of October. Mm. That's once the hostages, the Israeli hostages, are released.
But then there's another 9,000, whatever it is.
Well, right.
Anyway, let's go to Hamas. Now, Hamas in the past have definitely said they will accept a two-state solution so long as Israel pulls back to 67 borders. Now, Israel has never said they'll accept any Palestinian state, ever. They will not countenance it.
Well, yeah, Netanyahu said that he's against it.
Yes. And one thing that's not been made clear is, will the blockade be removed? In other words, will the Gazans be able to go into the sea and fish, or go and drill for oil, or have an airport and travel around? Nothing is mentioned there. I want to discuss this as well, very briefly. The fact that the question is, Hamas cannot take part. Well, okay, Hamas will lay their weapons down so long as they know Palestine will be established. The question is, why should they not be allowed to stand for parliament? Because, after all, isn't that what the guerrilla movements do? Guerrilla movements. You know, the IRA leader was a minister in the government in Northern Ireland.
I mean, I don't know, but is it not possible that once they renounce membership of Hamas, that they would be free to, put themselves forward for election as normal?
That is a big question. Will Israel accept that? That's the question.
Oh, don't know. Many, many questions, Fred.
They've just left it so vague, so vague. I can't believe Hamas will accept it.
Well, they've accepted part of it, and the rest remains either for negotiation or, well, I guess it depends on what Donald Trump says about this, whether he's prepared to negotiate or whether it was a take-it-or-leave-it deal. Good to talk to you, Fred. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Let's talk now. In fact, we'll take a break, and then we'll come. We'll not take a break, and immediately talk to Professor David Tal, who is an expert on Israel's security and diplomatic history at the University of Sussex. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening.
What are your thoughts on what you've heard today?
Yeah, well, it was kind of expected. The Hamas answer kind of we agree, but. And the problem and the real issue is with the but. Now, President Trump made his kind of opinion decision on the Hamas answer quite clear when he said that Hamas seeks peace and he asked Israel to stop bombing Gaza. But the problem really lays in what you just discussed with one of your listeners, and that is the 20-point plan. Which is very vague. It has many, many holes in it. And it basically, despite the fact that it presents as a plan, it's not really a plan. It's more a kind of a roadmap that calls for negotiations. So in a way, the Hamas answer serves very well the Hamas position. And it's very difficult to see how Israel would respond to that, because essentially on two or three main crucial issues, the Hamas answer is, from the Israeli point of view, is negative. Also, as I see it, the gap between Israel and the Hamas is less than the Israeli government would lead us to assume. Because I think that you mentioned in the beginning of your discussion of this topic, you mentioned the Israeli goals as they were put in October 2023. And basically, those terms were achieved. Israel did achieve that. The Hamas is no longer ruling the Gaza Strip, and the fact that it still exists has to do a lot with the way Israel handles things in the Gaza Strip. It could be the war ended about a year ago. So the question to what extent Benjamin Netanyahu would be able really to rise above his political predicaments and really to stand and essentially to bring an end to a war that can be ended.
Do you think that Hamas' failure to accept in full these proposals might give the opportunity for Israel to say, well, you haven't done as was required, and the war continues?
It's really up to President Trump now. It really depends on President Trump's reaction. If President Trump would say, look, you didn't really meet the demands, and as he essentially threatened Hamas that if Hamas would not accept the plan, then he's going to leash, you know, hell on the Gaza Strip. So if he would say that, he would back from his immediate answer, which is that the Hamas wants peace, and he would say, no, actually, the Hamas doesn't meet the terms of the plan, then Israel would continue the war, I'm afraid. So if Trump would say, no, we should use Hamas' answer as a basis for negotiations, then Israel would not be able to continue the war.
What do you make of the timescale that was put out by Trump? He gave them 72 hours. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, you mean for the release of the hostages?
Well, to actually agree to digest these 20 points in the proposal and come to an agreement.
Yeah, there are two issues here. One is really to accept the proposal, to accept the peace proposal. This is one thing. And the second thing is the time frame for the release of the hostages, which is one of the articles of the plan. So in terms of acceptance, so President Trump just said that the Hamas essentially accepted the plan, and now we need to negotiate, essentially. So at least for now, Trump accepted the Hamas answer as a positive one and as a basis for negotiations. As to the release of the hostages, this is another problem, which I guess would be part of the negotiations, whether the Hamas can meet the demand of the 72 hours or not.
Well, they've said that it's unreasonable.
Yeah. And in a way, it might even make sense, considering the fact that Israel is really operating in the Gaza, in the city of Gaza, where probably there are hostages. And it might be a real, genuine problem. On the other hand, the Hamas in the past announced that it had difficulties in finding the hostages, but eventually it did find them. So it's again, I would assume that the Hamas is trying to play here on time, trying to gain more time. And that is in the essence of the thing. This is the yes, but. And the issue of the timing of the release of the hostages is really part of that, yes, but.
Very good to talk to you, Professor. Thanks so much for that. That's Professor David Tao, expert on Israel's security and diplomatic history at the University of Sussex. Well, Donald Trump has said that Hamas' response means that Israel must stop bombing Gaza now to get the captives out. He said, based on the statement just issued by Hamas, I believe they are ready for a lasting peace. Israel must immediately stop the bombing of Gaza so that we can get the hostages out safely and quickly. The US president wrote that on his Truth Social account. He wrote, right now it's far too dangerous to do that. We're already in discussions on details to be worked out. This is not about Gaza alone. This is about long-sought peace in the Middle East. And Caroline Levitt, the White House press secretary, shared a photo on social media showing Trump's response to what she called Hamas' acceptance of his peace plan, which is not entirely true. They haven't accepted the peace plan. They've accepted some of it and asked for negotiations on the points that they have difficulty with. The US president shared an English translation of Hamas' statement on his Truth Social platform without additional comment. Al Jazeera reported from Washington, is that an endorsement? Is it simply an acknowledgement of the fact that Hamas has responded? It's not clear. Well, no. What do you think of what you've heard today? 0345-6060-973. This is LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Coming up this Sunday, the city of Manchester is in mourning following the fatal attack on a synagogue. But what will the protest and policing reaction be as the country braces for more demonstrations? And as polling reveals that just 11% of us believe the Conservatives could be ready to return to government, can their leader, Kemi Badenoch, really keep the show on the road? Join me, Lewis Goodall, for complete coverage this Sunday.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
Business Healthcare, Sounds pricey.
At Benenden Health, it's less than £16 per employee per month, which...
will go up when people use it.
Actually, no. We don't do price hikes each time our services are used. Just
medical questionnaires for everyone.
No. And it's quick and easy to join.
Sounds great. I'm in.
Benenden Health. Healthcare done different. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Selected surgical procedures. Immediate access for businesses. Wait periods apply for personal membership. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Now, focus on your car. That's right. The one you're ready to sell. See it clearly in your mind, waiting to be sold. We can make it disappear. Just watch carefully. Your car sold, collected and paid for in almost no time at all. It's not magic. It's Motorway. Sell your car today at motorway.co.uk.
With an Amex business card, Selena's earning points renovating her skin clinic and refreshing the builders.
14 coffees and 28 sugars, please.
And on new adjustable chairs for every room. And she can use the points to lie back and relax.
Don't put ice cream on your brother's head.
Well, sometimes. And that's because with an Amex business card, your points can go towards holidays and more.
Search Amex business card. Terms and annual fees apply. 18 plus. Subject to status. Basic card also available with no annual fee, rewards or other features.
Can your phone drown out irritating noises in your videos? Can anybody hear me over this? Luckily, Audio Eraser on the Galaxy S25 Ultra gets rid of background noises in seconds. Can your phone do that? Galaxy can. Get 15% off Galaxy S25 Ultra with code S15.
Buy from Samsung.com by the 21st of October 2025. Use code at checkout. Voucher code can't be combined with any other offer. Samsung account login and network connection required.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
We are talking about Hamas acceptance in part of Donald Trump's 20-point plan to end the war in Gaza. Let's talk with the White House correspondent for Politico, Daniel Lipman, who's on the line. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time. So Donald Trump has posted Hamas' response on his Truth Social site without comment. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so this is, you know, he was really eager for this deal, and he kind of wants to make it happen, even if Hamas hasn't fully accepted all aspects of the deal. And so I think that's, you know, he is trying to will this into existence. But this is so far the best news we've had throughout this war in terms of a long-term solution to this crisis, in this war.
And his press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, said that Hamas had agreed, but they haven't.
Yeah, so they've kind of had to give them a partial agreement. So they're almost kind of front-running Hamas, trying to box them into a corner to accepting this deal. But this is kind of par for the course for Trump, because he is someone who sometimes when he has announced people who he wants to join his cabinet, they're not always fully bought in on, you know, whether to join. And he just says, oh, you're part of the team now. So he loves to surprise people. But this is, you know, he doesn't want his image as a deal maker to take precedence to the actual facts, which is that it's a little bit more complicated than the fact that, oh, Hamas has accepted the deal.
Yeah, as much as he's maybe boxing in Hamas, as you just described, is he also doing the same to Benjamin Netanyahu?
I think we can't, you know, he is doing that as well to Netanyahu. And he is, there's a reason he brought him to the Washington to accept this deal on Monday, because he would just give Netanyahu the green light if Hamas doesn't actually finish the deal.
What do you make of Donald Trump placing himself at the head and the chair of this Board of Peace, which is going to be supposedly this sort of transitional government? Why would Donald Trump want to head that?
I think that he, wants to get all the credit if there is a rebuilding element in Gaza, and so he kind of loves this brand name of the Board of Peace, and so he's all about symbolism. Remember, this was a person who wanted to have the U.S. take over Gaza and make it the Riviera of the Middle East, and he's no longer talking about that anymore. But he wants to put himself at the center of international action, and he wants to be the peacemaker and wants to get that Nobel Peace Prize that he talks about at some point.
Why is he obsessed about that? Is it just because Barack Obama got one?
I think that's part of it. He doesn't want to be left out of the action, and he wants to put it in his office. He has really redecorated the Oval Office to make it this gilded office, much more like to what a king has. And he has kind of talked about himself as in king-like fashion. This is a person who frames every magazine cover he's ever on. And I've been to his office. I've seen this. He pointed out, oh, there I am, and there, look at all these frames. It was the most cluttered office I ever saw. He thinks that this is amazing people, legendary folks have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize, and he wants to be among their rank.
You mentioned the that extraordinary proposal of Trump's to make Gaza into a sort of a Trump-branded beachside resort. And they released that AI video to illustrate it. He is also going to put his name on the economic development plan to rebuild Gaza. Do you think that that's partly what this is, that Trump will become the construction chief of this ruined state?
I think he is a person who he always wants to talk about building. He's a major construction figure, and so he thinks that he has unique expertise, unlike previous presidents, about rebuilding Gaza. The issue is that this is a much longer term project than just the next 3 years of his presidency, it's going to take tens of billions of dollars, and he has a host of other things that he has to work on as well, not just the Middle East. And so it's mostly a symbolic role. I don't think he's going to be looking at street corners in Gaza and making sure that they that they line up with how the Gaza permitting process should work.
He is always very keen on seeing how popular he is. I would guess that this would, and his popularity is very bad at the moment. I think in recent memory, the only president that polled as badly as Trump is doing now was Trump in his first term. This is going to improve his ratings, I would think.
Yeah, I think that he has been desperate for this type of deal. He thought he could end the Ukraine war in 24 hours. It still drags on, so he's looking for a victory in that conflict as well. Now he kind of goes back and forth between whether he's more sympathetic to Russia or Ukraine or kind of neutral. Now he is talking about weapons packages for Ukraine more frequently. But this has kind of been on his to-do list. He is someone who's been watching all of the scenes happening in the Middle East on his TV in terms of the bombing and the hostages. And he's tired of it. He wants it to end. And he looks at how Israel has become a pariah internationally. And he's someone who he has Jewish grandchildren. He has a Jewish kid and with Ivanka Trump, who converted when she married Jared Kushner. And he does not like that there's been this increase of anti-Semitism across the world after October 7th.
He's also probably the most verbose president in the history of America, and yet he hasn't actually said anything in public about this yet. Is that right?
So he is, we should expect to hear from him soon, likely, to get on the TV networks. There was a photo of Trump in the Oval Office, kind of getting ready for a potential appearance. But we haven't seen him verbally yet, although we have seen these Truth Social posts.
Right, so as far as you're aware, he will be making some sort of statement relatively soon.
Given that this is major news of Hamas's reaction, I think his aides are probably figuring out, is it too early to say they've accepted it? He also wants to keep his credibility, and I'm sure they're trying to work with Middle Eastern countries in touch with Hamas to see exactly where they stand.
Good to talk to you, Daniel. Thanks for that. Daniel Lipman, White House correspondent for Politico. Going to take a break for the news and then come back with your thoughts about what you've heard today. Is this the beginning of the end of the war in Gaza? Can either side be trusted to hold up their end? And what do you make of Donald Trump inserting himself into not just this so-called border peace, a transitional government, but also into the economic development plan to rebuild Gaza? 0345 606 0973.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. President Trump is calling on Israel to end the bombing of Gaza after Hamas announced it would agree to some elements of his plan to end the war there. It says it accepts the mechanism being put forward for the release of all remaining hostages abducted on the 7th of October, 2 years ago. It's also saying it will hand over the administration of Gaza, but the Israeli journalist Alan Fisher-Ilan has been telling Nick Abbott on LBC, one troubling matter does remain.
They're not actually agreeing to the terms of a ceasefire yet. They're not agreeing to to be deposed or to be disarmed, to have their weapons confiscated. And these are really kind of the key elements or the key conditions that Israel has set for ending this 2-year war.
Tonight, Donald Trump also says he believes Hamas is now ready for a lasting peace in the Middle East, even though it's still pushing for negotiations on many of the details contained in his 20-point peace plan. Rina Shah is a geopolitical advisor in Washington, D.C. She's been telling LBC people in the U.S. have been surprised by tonight's move.
There have been people in Washington who said we can't even negotiate with Hamas. But what I feel at this moment with the situation being fluid, we also don't know what to expect from Donald Trump. And I think that is a big wild card here. What does he say to Hamas?
And there'll be more on this continuing breaking story with Nick Abbott here on LBC over the next hour. Three more people have been arrested by police investigating the Manchester synagogue attack. Greater Manchester Police says there are a man and two women. Six people are now being held on the suspicion of preparing acts of terrorism. The leader of the Conservatives says the UK would leave the European Convention on Human Rights if her party can get back into government. Kemi Badenoch making the announcement in response to the number of migrants crossing the English Channel from France. She says membership of the ECHR has made it impossible for the UK to control its sovereign borders. And the US rapper Sean Diddy Combs has been fined and sentenced to 50 months in prison for prostitution-related offences. His case involves sex workers and violence. In court, the disgraced hip-hop star described his behaviour as disgusting, shameful and sick. LBC's correspondent in the US, Mitch McCann, has been gauging reaction outside the court in New York City.
I spoke to some young women a few moments ago. They were disappointed that Diddy essentially, in their view, had gotten away with this. It's notable that Diddy will spend a number of years in prison. We found out today, according to prosecutors, that he was so confident he was going to be released very soon that he'd even booked speaking engagements in Miami, Florida next week to take place, which shocked many people in the court.
LBC weather stormy for northern parts of the country overnight, especially for western and northern Scotland. Heavy rain will also move across much of the UK before clear spells and blustery showers develop. We'll see a low in some districts of 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
We're talking about the situation in Gaza on the programme tonight. Hamas has said that it's agreed to release all Israeli hostages and return the remains of the deceased under America's peace plan for Gaza. Trump gave militants until Sunday at 6 p.m. to release all the remaining hostages, or in his words, all hell will break loose. they have responded, Hamas have responded, saying that 72 hours is an unreasonable time frame given the current situation in Gaza. They said, in this context, the movement affirms its readiness to immediately enter into negotiations through the mediators to discuss the details of this agreement. So they've agreed to some parts of it and want further discussions. It remains to be seen what Trump's response to that is, and indeed the Israeli response. We're waiting for that too. 0345 6060 973. Nicholas Westcott is Professor of Practice in Diplomacy at SOAS and a former Managing Director for Africa and the Middle East for European External Action Service, and joins us on the line now. Good evening, Nicholas.
Good evening.
So what are your thoughts about the prospect for peace in Gaza?
This is a significant step forward in that Hamas have clearly decided that they are willing to trade the hostages basically for their continued existence. And this throws the ball back into the Israeli court, as Trump has just asked. The Israelis must stop the bombing of Gaza City and the further displacement of people. And Hamas has said, we are willing to release all hostages, living and dead, which is exactly what the whole Israeli population have been asking for. It's what the protests have been about, that Netanyahu has not thought the release of the hostages, and now it is being offered. And is he going to take that offer? So it's quite sensible, or well, intelligent move by Hamas. It gives the Israelis what they have most been demanding, release of the hostages, but without accepting the whole of the 20-point plan. For fairly good reasons. Some of it is pretty fuzzy on what Hamas's future role would be. The idea is they should exclude themselves from politics in Gaza. They have accepted that there should be a non-Hamas administration, technocratic administration in Gaza. So they've accepted that point as well. The Trump plan was most fuzzy about the possibility of Palestinian statehood. And it sounds like Hamas are looking for firmer commitments that that course would be pursued. In other words, that a Palestinian state can exist before going any further down accepting the other points of the plan.
Yeah, but I'm right in thinking that Netanyahu has said that he's firmly against such a thing.
Exactly. And this is why the two sides have no trust in each other at all. Because although the last point of the 20-point plan said, you know, this will pave the way for eventual Palestinian statehood, Netanyahu then goes straight out and says, well, there's never going to be a Palestinian state. So Hamas are absolutely right to be extremely skeptical that the Israelis are committed to anything of this kind. The Israelis, too, are saying, well, Hamas might release the hostages, but they haven't said they'll give up the tunnels, that they'll disarm, that they'll go into exile. So both sides are really hedging that they don't really trust the other. It will come down to whether the US is willing to enforce a solution on both sides. And that's what we're waiting to see.
Yeah, that's key, isn't it? Because Hamas did not say whether it would agree to a stipulation that it disarm. Presumably, that is something that Israel would insist on.
Yes, and likewise, Hamas will insist that there should be a clear path to Palestinian statehood. So both sides are sort of hedging their bets on this, on the full 20-point plan. Netanyahu's pulling back from the statehood, and Hamas are pulling back from saying, well, we're not necessarily going to disarm them. So this is still bargaining going on, sort of in public view, if you like. But the point is, it is a significant step forward that Hamas has said, we will release all the hostages. And this throws the ball back into the Israeli camp, as Trump has said, will they now stop bombing? Because Israel has issued a statement saying, effectively, we're going to go into Gaza City and kill everybody we can see, civilian or not. We'll assume they're terrorists. So they were announcing they were going to go in and massacre anybody left in Gaza City. Hamas's step, with luck, will prevent that happening. But, you know, neither side trusts the other. You can't entirely believe everything that either side says, and the US have to say, right, guys, you've got to stick to your commitments.
What do you make of this transitional governance, this technocratic, supposedly apolitical committee to run to run Gaza on a day-to-day basis, which has as its head and chair President Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions about that. Another participant is said to be Tony Blair, Prime Minister. So, interestingly, the Hamas statement says we are willing to hand over to a technocratic Palestinian administration. And, you know, we won't be involved with that, but it should be Palestinian. That, you know, seems fair enough, except the Israelis won't entirely trust it if they think it's going to be a de facto mouthpiece for Hamas. That's why Trump said, look, I'll take responsibility for this. And if you like, that's where the power lies. Only the US can enforce this solution on Israel. So him being involved is not necessarily a bad thing. Tony Blair's involvement, that's a bit up in the air.
Yes.
But, you know, Hamas haven't explicitly accepted that. And if you like, there's not much trust in Donald Trump as to whether he's willing to get tough with really tough with the Israelis. He says he is, but it's actions that count more than words.
Well, Hamas's Abu Marzouk has rejected this Trump-led border peace. He said the proposal that the U.S. president will head a transitional oversight body for Gaza, alongside other officials, including the ex-UK Prime Minister Tony Blair, is not something that they would accept. He said they're rejecting it. Specifically, Tony Blair. They dislike him a very great deal. Because they say he joined America in the invasion of Iraq.
Yeah, he has form in the Middle East. But on the other hand, he knows these issues, and he does have some leverage with the Israeli government. But, you know, this is not for me to judge. The point here is that the bargaining is still going on, and Hamas, it's a pity in some ways that everybody assumes Hamas speaks for the Palestinians, because they don't, actually. The Palestinians at the moment have no real voice. There's Hamas, which is a self-appointed, declared, they won last elections, but this was so long ago, and there's been no test of public opinion since the war broke out, really. And the Palestinian Authority, many Palestinians are deeply skeptical of, so it's hard to say who should speak, who can speak for the Palestinians. On the other hand, to cut a deal without the Palestinians having any say in it, or administer them without them having any involvement in their administration, doesn't make sense either. So, you know, it's an open question as to what kind of transitional authority there should be. Trump has the power, but the Palestinians have the legitimacy to have some say in how they are run themselves.
Point 13 of these proposals that Hamas have agreed to in part says that Hamas and other factions agree not to have any role in the governance of Gaza, directly, indirectly, or in any form. Does that mean that somebody who is a member of Hamas can leave the organization and then be able to stand for election in the normal way?
Yeah, that's fuzzy. And we can see that there are people who might be Hamas sympathetic but not formally members of the organization who would put themselves forward to help administer, and Israel would say, no, that's a Hamas stooge. But Israel has been saying the whole of the UN organization is in the hands of Hamas, which is blatantly not true. So, you know, you have to give the Palestinians a chance to say, this is somebody I trust, I want him to speak for me. And if he's not got a green, you know, if he's not a clear member of the Hamas hierarchy or in their armed forces, you know, you should be given a chance to be involved. So, you know, Israel will accuse any Palestinian who stands up of being in the pay or under the control of Hamas, and that's not necessarily true. However, there are clear leaders and there are clear armed forces who should not be involved. And that's something which perhaps you do need an independent arbitrator to say, yeah, you're okay, you're not okay, you've got to leave.
Did it take somebody as unpredictable, as volcanic as Donald Trump to get this to happen?
Well, you can't see Joe Biden having done it. So, in some ways, yes. It needed somebody who was willing to take risks, political risks here, and Trump is a risk taker. The challenge is that the US has been so firmly behind Israel all the way through that they are not necessarily the ideal arbiter or the neutral party. But how, where you could find, I think this is one reason that perhaps some of the Arab countries who have announced that they are happy to be involved in this transitional authority need to be there. They will add, if you like, a guarantee that Trump isn't just going to change his mind tomorrow and say, oh, all right, Israel, off you go, do what you like. And it is partly the pressure from these Arab countries, from Qatar, from Turkey, from Saudi Arabia, that has put Trump in this position where he's getting tougher with Israel.
Very good to talk to you, Nicholas. Thanks so much for your time. That's Nicholas Westcott, Professor of Practice in Diplomacy at SOAS and a former Managing Director for Africa and the Middle East for the European External Action Service. Now I'm going to take a short break and then come back with your thoughts about what's happened today and what do you think the sticking points might be for an eventual agreement. Whether you think that really one side can trust the other to uphold their end, I guess, is a blunt way of putting it. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
This is LBC.
With an Amex business card, Selena's earning points renovating her skin clinic and refreshing the builders.
14 coffees and 28 sugars, please.
And on new adjustable chairs for every room. And she can use the points to lie back and relax.
Don't put ice cream on your brother's head.
Well, sometimes. And that's because with an Amex business card, your points can go towards holidays and more.
Search Amex business card. Terms and annual fees apply. 18 plus. Subject to status. Basic card also available with no annual fee, rewards or other features.
Would anyone like some Bourneville dark chocolate?
Is it so dark the aftertaste lasts for a week?
No.
Does it taste really, really complicated?
What?
Is it saturated in nibs?
So dark it comes with a therapist?
To the uneducated palate, does it taste like burnt tyre?
Would scientists compare the taste to dark matter?
Is it artisanal, in all caps?
Are the tasting notes gloom?
No, no pretentiousness, no complexity, no bitterness. Just smooth dark chocolate from Cadbury. Cadbury Bourneville, made to be enjoyed, not endured.
40 million people listen to commercial radio each week. That's 80 million ears! Give or take. Amplify your advertising at radiocentre.org.
The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back. There's over £2 million worth of cash prizes to be won. And a chance to get your hands on some epic prizes. Go on, it's your go. 18 plus, UK, ends 21st of October. Selected menu items. App may be required. May depend on winning moment. See mcdrules.co.uk.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
We are talking about this peace proposal, which has been accepted in part by Hamas, and Qatar has said that they welcome Hamas' response. The spokesman for Qatar's foreign ministry says that the Gulf country has welcomed Hamas' response to Trump's Gaza plan, including the group's readiness to release all the Israeli captives. In a statement shared on social media, Majid al-Ansari said Qatar also affirmed its support for Trump's call for an immediate ceasefire in the Strip to allow for the safe release of the captives and put an end to what he's called the bloodshed of Palestinians. He said at the same time, the state of Qatar affirms that it has begun working with its partners in the mediation, the Arab Republic of Egypt, in coordination with the United States of America, to continue discussions on the plan in order to ensure a path toward ending the war. So further discussions. Not a take it or leave it, then, apparently. We're yet to hear from Donald Trump himself, and as soon as he starts to speak on this subject, then we'll go over and take those comments in full. 0345 6060 973. Guildford. Hello, Lauren.
Hello. Forgive me. I feel quite passionate about this. So I can often get my words muddled, but I'll give it my best shot. So the way I feel about this is that surely it's completely reasonable for Hamas to want to negotiate the terms of a vague deal that's sort of been painted as foolproof. There's been comments earlier on in the show which is almost suggesting, you know, why wouldn't they approve this? Why aren't pro-Palestinian marches pressuring Hamas to accept a peace deal? Well, it's because it doesn't feel like it is a real deal for freedom. It feels like a trap. It offers sort of false choice, accept subjugation or be punished. Denies real sovereignty because the borders will still be controlled by somebody else. And it just feels like history is repeating itself. International powers controlling the fate of Gazans. And then I know that if they don't accept it in full or in the way, well, I don't know this, but I imagine, then it will be painted as, well, that it's their fault. They didn't want peace. Those are my thoughts.
Well, right at the top of the proposal, it says Gaza will be redeveloped for the benefit of the people of Gaza. You could say it's fuzzy, but it's difficult to be unfuzzy on that point without getting into, you know, what building is going to go where. I mean, should they trust that phrase for the benefit of the people of Gaza?
Why would they trust that? Because nothing, in my opinion, has been done to help regular innocent Gazans to date. So why all of a sudden would that change? I'm skeptical because I've seen nothing that actually values Palestinian life at all in the running of this the 2 years.
What's interesting is that it says, upon acceptance of this agreement, full aid will be immediately sent into the Gaza Strip. Now, does that imply that despite their objections to the suggestion that the Israelis have been withholding aid?
Well, I think we all know that. You know, everyone wants to say, oh, well, Hamas is taking it, and maybe there are, you know, grains of truth to that. But essentially, Gazans, it's a man-made humanitarian crisis. It's almost like, okay, well, if you agree to what we say, then we'll let you eat. We'll let you have your basic rights to food and medical care. It's completely absurd. I feel really, really angry that sort of all pro-Palestinian marches are tarred with the same brush. That if I support innocent Palestinian life, then I must be anti-Semitic. I mean, I know that goes back to a different sort of different nuanced debate, but
Yes, objecting to the actions of the Israeli government is not objecting to Jewish people. It's to a completely different.
You know what? I'm so happy that you've said that, because I've literally been listening all day and shouting at my radio, because I don't understand why things are... I do understand why things are so polarised, but where did the two things can be true at once? I can oppose what the Israeli government are doing and not be anti-Semitic. It's just... And you know... I was really upset, actually, when, she's not here to speak for herself, when Sheila Fogarty was sort of name-calling pro-Palestinian marches. And obviously, within those marches, there is going to be, you know, anti-Semitism isn't going anywhere. It's always bubbling under the surface or not bubbling under the surface. And this is not me to sort of minimize that in any way. But it's really sad that you can't speak out for another life without you saying, well, that's because you don't care about ours. Mm. The whataboutery just is exhausting.
Yes. What do you make of Tony Blair's, who has inserted himself in, or maybe he has answered a call to insert himself into this process?
I mean, if I'm completely honest, I have no idea where what relevance he has. And all it makes me think of is our history repeating itself, our British government stepping in, trying to dictate what is right for Palestine, and then sort of washing your hands of it when the mess has been made. I just think it's setting up the next round of conflict, if I'm honest. International powers controlling the fate of Gazans again and blaming them when impossible terms collapse. It is completely bizarre to me that Tony Blair's name's even entered into the into the ring, so to speak.
Well, yes, and a representative of Hamas has said that, A, they don't like the idea of Donald Trump being the chairperson of this this transitional government, and they really, really don't like the idea of Tony Blair having anything to do with it because of the Iraq war. Specifically,
well, of course. Why would they? You know, everyone's saying, you know, how can they trust both sides? But how can you trust a clearly very one sided power to want to run your country? Mm-hmm. I don't understand why. I'm lost for words, clearly.
Okay, good to talk to you, Lauren. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. The former US Director of Global Engagement for the White House under the Obama administration is Brett Bruen, and he joins us on the phone now. Hello, Brett.
How are you?
Very well, thanks. What do you make of what's happened today?
Well, look, as a recovering diplomat, I think it's always important to give peace a chance. And while I'm certainly skeptical, Trump seems to like the photo op and the social post more than he does the substance of these deals. It's worth giving it a shot, obviously, because the humanitarian costs are so high.
Yeah. What do you make of him being the head and chair of this transitional government, this board of peace?
Well, on the list of preposterous things that Trump has proposed, including colonizing Greenland and Panama, that ranks fairly low. So, you know, if he wants a title, if he wants to feel as though he is nominally in charge, then I'll go along with it so long as we do truly get to a ceasefire. We do truly get peace in Gaza. And I think that ought to be the North Star here.
Proposal number 10 starts a Trump economic development plan to rebuild and energize Gaza. Is that what this is all about?
Well, he has clearly got his sights set on transforming Gaza into Atlantic City, though somebody commented on show recently, you know, if you looked at what he did in Atlantic City, you might not necessarily want him in charge of the redevelopment of Gaza. But, you know, not to make light of the situation, I would say, you know, Trump clearly sees the world through green colored glasses. That is to say, he's looking at financial incentives. And if some modicum of financial incentive can get him not just to arrive at some sort of peace deal, but to work towards the rebuilding of Gaza, then again, I will abide by all of the ridiculousness of putting his name on everything and feeling like, you know, he has to be the priority and given all of that attention. I don't know if you guys have gotten word over there, but apparently he's having the U.S. Treasury mint a coin in his image for the 250th anniversary of independence. So, I mean, this is Donald Trump.
Well, that was on my bingo card, him putting his face on money. So that's happened. There aren't many things that I had predicted that haven't come true yet. Only him insisting that his troops fire into crowds of protesters and live televising an execution. I think that, oh, and him appearing on stage in military uniform. Just three to go for the full house. Now, bingo, not a thing that Americans actually take part in, I think, so that's probably lost on you. You worked under the Obama administration and as Director of Global Engagement. Did it take somebody like Donald Trump, who doesn't follow any of the normal rules of diplomacy, to make this happen, or did it just sort of fall into his lap?
Well, look, on the one hand, Biden didn't do a whole lot better. And, you know, now you're getting some of the reports coming out about how he and his team, including National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, really misjudged. They didn't apply enough American pressure early on after the terrible events of October 7th, after we saw Prime Minister Netanyahu heading down this war path. And so, you know, Biden, I don't know necessarily was pushing the process in the right way, albeit they got with the participation of Trump's transition, some sort of ceasefire. That being said, you know, I do think we have to get back to a point where, you know, and perhaps it's some of these former leaders. I recall, you know, the Bill Clintons and the George H.W. Bushes and the Jimmy Carters running around the world trying to negotiate these things because they do approach it from less of an immediate political interest and more time, more focus on what is it going to take to create a truly sustainable peace process. And that, I think, is a key clause here. Will this thing be sustainable, or is it just another one of these, you know, short, shallow peace deals that Trump's going to parade out there as though it's, you know, the best thing since the seizure of, or closure, rather, of World War II?
Can Hamas actually trust the President of the United States of America, given that the U.S. has been Israel's closest friend for such a long period of time?
Well, this has always been a difficult dynamic in the Middle East, whether it's Hamas, whether it's, you know, dealing with Iran or its proxies. And yet at the end of the day, the U.S. and certainly President Trump wield some influence, more than almost any other country or leader, over Israel. And so that's why you, if you're Hamas or if you're a Middle Eastern leader, you have to engage with Washington on this. What you're trying to do, what you see the Qataris and the Egyptians trying to do, is to nudge Trump towards some of those conditions that aren't entirely in favor of what Netanyahu is doing, trying to put in place some checks and some confidence building measures. But we will see. The other thing, you know, I learned about peace deals, and I negotiated a few of them, is they can fall apart very quickly. And if you don't have enough of those confidence building measures baked in at the beginning, this thing isn't going to last past Sunday.
Very good to talk to you, Brett. Thanks for that. Brett Bruen, former U.S. Director of Global Engagement for the White House under the Obama administration. Going to take a break for the news and then back with your thoughts about what you've heard so far. 0345 6060 973. Do you have any faith that this will actually hold, this proposal and this peace deal will actually come to anything? 0345 6060 973. It's just past 11:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump has called on Israel to end the bombing of Gaza after Hamas announced it would agree to some elements of the plan to end the war there. It says it accepts the mechanism being put forward for the release of all remaining hostages abducted on the 7th of October 2 years ago. Three more people have been arrested by officers investigating the Manchester synagogue attack. Greater Manchester Police says they are a man and two women. And the leader of the Conservatives says the UK would leave the European Convention on Human Rights if her party can get back into government. Kemi Badenoch making the announcement in response to the number of migrants crossing the English Channel from France. LBC weather, stormy for northern parts of the UK overnight, particularly western and northern Scotland. Heavy rain will also move across much of the country before clear spells and blustery showers develop. We'll see a low of around 8 degrees.
This is LBC.
Fraud can happen faster than you think. But at Barclays, we use innovative technology that spots fraud in under a second. And our dedicated team of experts work 24/7. So you can go about your day knowing we never stop working to keep you and your money safe. Search Barclays Fraud Protection to see how you can stay one step ahead. Barclays. Make money work for you.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay, but I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO, do energy differently. Beyond customers only, eligibility required, redemption limits apply.
You know the drill. End of series, credits roll, the next ITV Extra begins. But how can you move on when everyone's still talking about it? The hack is making headlines with critics. It's the explosive true story of the British phone hacking scandal. The Guardian says it's this year's Mr. Bates. And what about David Tennant and Robert Carlyle? They're on fire. No wonder the iPaper calls it TV dynamite in its five-star review. Some shows end at the credits. Others keep everyone talking. Stream The Hack. Free on ITVX.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
We're talking about the proposed peace deal that Hamas has accepted in part. In America, it's reported that members of Donald Trump's team have had it with Benjamin Netanyahu's antics. That's their words. William Lawrence, a Middle East analyst and professor at American University, says that Trump has people around him that want his Gaza plan to go through against the wishes of Israel and the pro-Israel lobby in the US. He said people have figured out that it's not about finishing the job for Israel, it's about perpetual war, perpetual occupation. There's a sense now that there's a certain thinking for Trump and a certain number of advisers around him who have kind of had it with Netanyahu's antics, he said. So if this thing turns out for the better now, it'll be because Hamas is calling everyone's bluff and Trump is also calling Netanyahu's bluff. Let's talk about this with Professor Kamal Hawash, British-Palestinian academic and writer who joins us on the phone now. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for your time. What do you make of that in America people are saying that they've had it with Netanyahu's antics?
Well, seriously, the Palestinians could have told them that years ago, because he's been doing this ever since he came to power. He always reneges on promises, and he does like perpetual war. Because it keeps him as the important guy. People look to him to see if the wars can be stopped. But I have to say, this morning, I was very pessimistic because Trump was threatening Hamas, not because I support Hamas, but because he was threatening, saying that, the gates of hell will open. And so as I heard, my first reaction was, I'm glad that Hamas didn't wait until Sunday to produce its response. Its response was positive. It didn't agree to everything, but in particular, it agreed to what Donald Trump has wanted all along, which is for the Israeli prisoners to be released. That was the first thing they came up with. And then they talked about there must be an end to the war and that the Gaza should be ruled by Palestinians. And then I was even more surprised. So I was surprised at the speed with which Hamas came back. But then the response for Trump was quite staggering, really, because I thought he might come and say Hamas isn't listening. I'll now say to Israel, you can go on and do what you like. Instead, he welcomed the statement from Hamas and saw it actually as a means of ending the uncertainty and instability in the Middle East because peace will come to the Middle East.
Yes, he posted Hamas' response on his Truth Social website, did Donald Trump.
Yes.
But did so without response, without comment. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm sure that had he not liked it, he wouldn't have done that. But look, Trump is an unpredictable guy, isn't he? He's somebody who can get up every morning and change his mind. But I'm really, really optimistic tonight because the first thing I want is for the killing to stop. The issue of the Israeli prisoners has gone on for too long. So for them to be released, for the war to end, I think that should be what everybody wants. Now, what happens next can be discussed. Negotiations need to continue. Not only did Hamas call for more negotiations at certain points, but so did Trump. He accepted. And look, he is the man who calls himself that he knows the art of a deal. So he raised the stakes in his initial plan, knowing that Hamas wouldn't accept them all, and possibly Netanyahu wouldn't either. And now negotiations are happening to arrive at the deal. I think that's probably how he thinks.
And he has said that he will be the chair of this Board of Peace, this transitional government, in which Tony Blair will also feature, and Hamas have rejected both men.
Yes, that what Hamas has said, as we Palestinians, and I speak as a Palestinian, we think we can rule ourselves. We've been under occupation. That's why we haven't been able to rule ourselves properly. But that it's the Palestinians, a committee, a government of technocrats, people who know what they're doing in their field, not aligned to a particular faction, should lead on the reconstruction of Gaza, and then beyond that, onto how we get to an end to what has gone on since Israel was established on our in our homeland, that we get to a point where we find a way where the two people can live together on that important piece of land.
But what do you make of Tony Blair being among the names that have been suggested?
Yeah, look, you know, when he was the head of the quartet, he became persona non grata in the Palestinian areas. They wouldn't welcome him, they wouldn't talk to him, and that hasn't changed. Look, there are a lot of people who see Tony Blair as the person who lied to get the war against Iraq started. Many people see him as a war criminal. So for us, the Palestinians, we don't welcome his involvement. And actually, what's proposed, you see, this is another layer on top of the occupation. So there'd be two occupations, the Israeli occupation, because Israel will still control everything that goes in and out of Gaza. And then you've got Tony Blair sitting in Al-Arish, an Egyptian city just the other side of the border, determining what happens to the Palestinians. To be honest, when I first heard the Trump-Netanyahu conference, it reminded me of the Balfour Declaration, where people outside Palestine decide what should happen to us Palestinians. And that's completely wrong.
Now, one of the proposals states that Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza. Is that as straightforward as it reads?
Well, if Donald Trump is true to his word, he said that both about Gaza and the West Bank. But I have to say, there is a doubt. And the doubt is that there's an element which talks about the sort of turning or bringing investment into Gaza to create basically the Dubai of Palestine on the Mediterranean Sea, and that it would be done by people from outside. The point is, this is Palestinian land. It should be rebuilt, and we would welcome as Palestinians, of course, investment, ideas, but it's Palestinian land. It doesn't belong to Trump, and it certainly doesn't belong to Netanyahu. But Tony Blair is a persona non grata. He's done enough damage in his time, and he's made enough money advising terrible dictators through his foundation. He should just stay out of this.
And the final point on this proposal says that the United States will establish a dialogue between Israel and Palestinians to agree on a political horizon for peaceful and prosperous coexistence. Do you think that after everything that's happened on both sides, that the future, that is a likelihood for the future, a peaceful coexistence?
I think it's possible. It should have happened quite genuinely before the 7th of October, but the Netanyahu government has refused a Palestinian state and still does so. And therefore, you have to ask yourself, and we ask Netanyahu, there are 7 million Palestinians, 7 million Jewish Israelis in the same piece of land between the river and the sea. If there is not one state with equal rights, and you reject two states, what is it that you want? So that now falls on the international community, and particularly the United States, to say if they believe in a two-state solution, and as you know, the last week has been all about a two-state solution, including Britain's recognition, then let's make it happen and finally end the, I don't like calling it a conflict, but end the fighting between the two sides. And over time, look, the Palestinians before 1948 lived as Jews, Christians, and Muslims in the same area, and they were perfectly happy. And Jews, Muslims, and Christians lived in the rest of the Arab world. So it is possible. Of course, it looks very difficult to achieve now, but remember South Africa, that they called the South African leader, sorry, Nelson Mandela, a terrorist, that there was apartheid. And it went and it slipped very quickly. It is possible if there is a will, and where there's a will, there's a way.
Very good to talk to you, Professor. Thanks so much for that. That's Professor Kamal Hawash, British-Palestinian academic and writer. Going to take a short break and then come back with your thoughts on this. 0345 6060 973.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Coming up this Sunday, the city of Manchester is in mourning following the fatal attack on a synagogue. But what will the protest and policing reaction be as the country braces for more demonstrations? And as polling reveals that just 11% of us believe the Conservatives could be ready to return to government, can their leader, Kemi Badenoch, really keep the show on the road? Join me, Lewis Goodall, for complete coverage this Sunday.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall, Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
With an Amex business card, Selena's earning points renovating her skin clinic and refreshing the builders.
14 coffees and 28 sugars, please.
And on new adjustable chairs for every room. And she can use the points to lie back and relax.
Don't put ice cream on your brother's head.
Well, sometimes. And that's because with an Amex business card, your points can go towards holidays and more.
Search Amex Business Card. Terms and annual fees apply. 18 plus. Subject to status. Basic card also available with no annual fee, rewards or other features.
The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back. And with a 1 in 4 chance to win instantly on pack, you could get your hands on a £2,000 Jet 2 holiday, a Big Mac, Merlin annual passes for 4, and even more epic prizes. Go on. It's your go. 18 plus. UK. Ends 21st of October. Selected menu items. Subject to availability. App may be required. See mcdrules.co.uk.
How will you react if you win big with Win Plus?
I can't believe it!
Enter now at winplus.co.uk to get in the draw. 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply.
One of the best things about a holiday with Saga is your chauffeur, who'll pick you up and drive you to your departure point. Whether you're cruising through Europe's iconic cities along the Danube or enjoying a rainforest tour through Costa Rica. Even better, they'll pick you up and drive you home again afterwards. 2026 season now on sale. Search Saga Holidays. Experience is everything. Nationwide chauffeur service available on UK mainland. Full terms apply, over 50s only.
I'd been in the family home for 30 years, but it was different. Too many rooms, too few voices. Moving to McCarthy Stone felt like a big step, but this place is full of life. I chat to someone every day. In the lounge, in the garden, even in the lift. I have my own apartment, but I'm never truly alone. I only wish I'd done it sooner.
Discover stunning retirement apartments exclusively for the over 55. Search McCarthy Stone or call 0800 153 3055. Age restrictions and qualifying criteria apply.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
There's an analyst called Natasha Hall, senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. She said that the main challenge for the international community in implementing a Gaza peace plan will be ambiguity on Israel's part, not Hamas's part. Let's talk about this with Yossi Meckelberg. He is Professor of International Relations and Associate Fellow of the Middle East and North Africa Program at Chatham House, with a focus on Israel-Palestine. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening.
Do you think that the main challenge will be ambiguity on Israel's part?
I think there will be ambiguity on both sides. I think to a large extent, both sides like to buy their time, because from the leadership's point of view, an agreement also means more pressure of them to go. Hamas will probably lose relevance within for quite some time. There are pressure on Netanyahu the minute that the war ends for an investigation into October 7, the way the war is conducted, why it took so long to return the hostages, and probably elections. So I think they're biding their time. They try to improve their positions in order to stay relevant.
There hasn't been any response from America, as far as I'm aware, yet. Do you think it's possible that they will eventually say, well, Hamas was given an ultimatum. You had to agree by a certain period of time. You haven't done that. So that's a no, then.
Yeah, but what Hamas did, it says yes, but. And the question, if the patience in Washington for the but to negotiate certain things. So there are some that you look into the kind of the technicalities of that when they say about finding some of the buried hostages. But when it comes about trying to change the fact who is going to govern Gaza post-war, this might be a non-starter for the Israelis, but also for the Americans, because there's quite a consensus that Hamas wants, you know, in the Arab League. There is a UN vote on this, the New York Declaration, that Hamas won't play a part in governing Gaza beyond the war. The question is what Hamas says, that they want to negotiate a consensus of a government of technocrats, what role they're going to play that. So the question, what they're trying to achieve and to see if they can improve their position.
Yes, from Hamas' perspective, having Donald Trump as the chair of this board of peace is what it's called, and Tony Blair being a part of it, I know it does. It rankles that they've, or at least one of their members has rejected it.
It's not only Hamas. There are questions also about that in the wider Palestinian society and political system. I think at the end of the day, I don't think that Trump is going to play an active role as the chairman. I don't see the president of the United States has enough time actually to deal with the day-to-day of running Gaza or building peace. It will have to be handed to a government in Palestine of technocrats. It will have to deal with international other leaders in the international community. As to the role of Tony Blair, I mean, the optics is not good for many in Palestine, the idea that, you know, after many, many years after the end of the mandate in Palestine, a British foreign prime minister is taking over, or at least governing for the interim period. But at the same time, Tony Blair comes with support in the Gulf states, with gravitas, with experience, and if it can contribute and it can be discussed in a way which is constructive to the reconstruction of Gaza, I think it might at least contemplating this.
What do you make of this insistence that the hostages be released within, I think it's 72 hours? And Hamas have said that that's an unreasonable time frame. Why would they say that?
Well, the question is, of course, we have some of the hostages that are alive, and then there are those who were killed. And those who were killed, some of them are buried in different places. So the question, how they can, you know, their bodies can be exhumed. As for the living on the, depends where they are, where exactly they hold them. But at the same time, you know, if it's not, the idea that they can prolong it for much longer won't hold, you know, so with either the Israelis or the Americans. They probably can talk about another 24 hours, another 48 hours, but definitely not or those who are still alive to prolong it even further.
Of course, there's many more Palestinians being held in either jails or I don't know how else they're held, but almost nothing is ever said about them.
So, you know, part of the agreement talks about more than 2,000 or around 2,000 detainees, but also 250 Palestinians prisoners that were sentenced for life sentence, for life term, which probably this is one of the trickiest for the Israeli government, but this is part of the of what was agreed in part of the plan that was announced earlier this week. But you know, there are a lot of detainees, also Palestinian one, that never been convicted of anything. They are held without any trial. So this is also an issue. Some of them are minors, women, that need to actually to be discussed as part of this deal.
Yeah, and am I right in thinking that those who did have a trial, in many cases, there was a military tribunal, and they had no way of defending themselves in court?
No, they have a way to defend themselves, military courts, but they have a lawyer assigned to them. So that's in this case, there is a process
a legal process, and it goes also through appeal. So, I mean, in many cases, when we are talking about the life sentence, it's not the question if they committed or didn't commit what they were indicted for or accused with. The question now is part of this deal, and for Hamas, this is one of the very few achievements that they'll be able to show to their people. Look, what the PA did, the Palestinian Authority, didn't manage to get you the release of the prisoners, we did through negotiating with the Israelis.
What hope or confidence do you have that this will actually work out, that Hamas will be able to conduct negotiations, that America will allow that, and that Israel will agree to whatever is subsequently negotiated?
I think a lot depends on how much pressure the United States and the mediator can put on both sides. And again, because politically for both sides, it might spell the end of their political influence, political power in their respective societies, they might be reluctant or try to buy their time, delay tactics. But then it's really down to the United States and the mediator to make sure that the message of enough of this war is heard loud and clear.
Very good to talk to you, Professor. Thanks very much for that. That's Yossi Mecklenburg, Professor of International Relations and Associate Fellow of the Middle East and North Africa Program at Chatham House, with a focus on Israel-Palestine. Your thoughts, please, on what you've heard. Do you have any confidence that this is actually going to work out, or and that either one side or the other will not try to torpedo these negotiations, as we've just been talking, for their own political survival? 0345 6060 973. Chichester. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Nick. There's one thing that's consistent with Donald Trump is that he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
He says one thing one day and completely changes his mind the next. But he does obviously have a lot of influence over Israel and Netanyahu because they supply them with the arms.
Mm.
Now, when Netanyahu arrived at the White House last week, next thing, Netanyahu's ringing Qatar to apologise to them over the bombing. He would have never done that without being told that he had to do it. And I just think that when Donald Trump's come up with this peace plan, and then obviously we didn't hear from Hamas for a couple of days, 2 or 3 days. And then all of a sudden, Trump gets very angry and starts threatening that they will be obliterated, basically, if they don't accept it. I just think it's very coincidental that next Friday, they announce the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. And Donald Trump is desperate to get that.
Yes, oddly keen, yeah.
And I think that's why he is trying to force the issue here and get this peace plan over the line. He's doing it more for himself than anything else.
Well, that I absolutely believe. Yes, his concern for others has not ever been noted.
No, he's a very selfish and dangerous man.
Yes, no doubt. Thanks, Tony. 0345 6060 973. As far as we know, so far, Hamas has accepted core elements of Donald Trump's plan for Gaza, including the return of all Israeli captives. But analysts say that the details need to be hammered out in negotiations. We don't know whether negotiations will be allowed. Trump has welcomed Hamas' statement and called for Israel to stop the bombing of Gaza, while negotiators Qatar and Egypt say they are committed to putting the peace plan in place. Meanwhile, Israeli attacks continue to pummel Gaza City, killing at least 42 people in the city since dawn, including apparently 3 children in the Sabra neighbourhood. A total of 72 people have been killed across the Gaza Strip just today. 0345 6060 973. You can text 84850, email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, then it's the same number as the phone, 0345 6060 973. I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are on everything that you've heard today. Judy in Connecticut says, who honestly would think that Trump and Netanyahu are honest brokers in a peace deal? Call me a cynic, but Trump is no diplomat, has no knowledge of history, and he's not to be trusted. Netanyahu needs a war to stay in power. I'm not feeling confident, says Judy. And this text says, 10th of October is the date the Nobel Peace Prize will be announced. Mr. Trump is desperate to get that because Mr. Obama got one. Coincidence? Perhaps. 0345 6060 973. What do you make of the proposal, this peace plan for Gaza, and do you think it's going to work? Text 84850. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 0345 6060 973.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. Hamas is saying it will agree to some aspects of President Trump's plan to end the war in Gaza, including the release of hostages. It also says it will hand over the administration of the territory, but still wants negotiations over many elements of Washington's 20-point peace plan. Confusion, however, remains on whether Hamas will disarm. The former Foreign Service officer at the U.S. Department of State, Joanne Held Cummings, has been telling LBC another question could create stumbling blocks as well.
What is going to be the governing structure in Gaza in this transitional period? Because for the Palestinians, it doesn't need to be Hamas, but it has to be Palestinians. And the Israelis would prefer to have it Israelis, but they will accept it being largely Americans.
In the last few minutes, the Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, has said the Hamas acceptance of the US peace plan is a significant step forward. The family of the worshipper shot by police during the Manchester synagogue attack on Thursday says he died a hero while trying to save others. Adrian Dolby was hit by fire from an armed officer as they were targeting 35-year-old Jihad al-Shami. Six people have been arrested. The organisers of a major pro-Palestinian demonstration planned for central London say it will still go ahead, despite comments from the Home Secretary saying it should be called off. Defend Our Juries has been responding to calls from Shabana Mahmood and also the Metropolitan Police following the Manchester attack. Joanie Reid chairs the all-party parliamentary group against anti-Semitism. She's been talking to LBC.
My personal view is that I hope people don't join the march in the time of mourning and grief for the Jewish community, who have made it perfectly clear that they feel intimidated and that there is much anti-Semitism on these marches at this particular moment.
For the second time in under 24 hours, Munich Airport's been shut down after more suspected drone sightings. The authorities there say reports on Friday evening were unconfirmed and the measures were taken as a precaution. The US rapper Sean Diddy Combs has been sentenced to more than 4 years in prison for two prostitution-related offences. The 55-year-old was convicted in July, but was cleared of the more serious charges of sex trafficking and racketeering. He's also been fined $500,000. And police in the Republic of Ireland say a man in his 40s has died during bad weather in County Donegal. Storm Amy is expected to bring winds of around 100 miles per hour to some parts of the British Isles this weekend. LBC weather, stormy for northern parts of the UK overnight, especially for western and northern Scotland. Heavy rain will also move across much of the country before clear spells and blustery showers develop. We'll see a low of around 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC, from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
We are talking about the prospect of peace in Gaza and the main challenge for the international community in implementing a Gaza peace plan will be ambiguity on Israel's part, not Hamas's. So said an analyst called Natasha Hall. She's a senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. She said the issue for the U.S. and the international community is how much patience they're going to have for dealing with the other points of this plan, which are actually really essential for ending the war. Presuming Hamas fulfills its commitment to returning all remaining captives, Netanyahu has lost all his opposition within Israel and can continue the war, a promise he has made in both English and Hebrew to far-right audiences, so says Natasha Hall. She said such promises make it difficult to surmise whether the plan is feasible without real tangible U.S. pressure for an Israeli withdrawal. Well, that's one of the things that is part of this proposal. Whether there's pressure to back it up, we'll find out, I suppose. What are your thoughts on what's been happening so far, and your thoughts about the prospect for actual real and lasting peace? Or is this a false hope? The Prime Minister has weighed in. He said Hamas acceptance of the U.S. peace plan is a significant step forwards. We strongly support President Trump's efforts, which have brought us closer to peace than ever before. There's now an opportunity to end the fighting, for the hostages to return home, and for humanitarian aid to reach those who so desperately need it. We call on all sides to implement the agreement without delay. Keir Starmer says the UK, alongside our partners, stands ready to support further negotiations and to work towards sustainable peace for Israelis and Palestinians alike. Chris Doyle is a commentator on the Middle East and international politics and director of the Council for Arab-British Understanding and joins us on the line now. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Nick.
Thanks very much for your time. What are your thoughts on the prospect for peace?
Well, I think what we can see is at least the prospect of a ceasefire, release of hostages and detainees, and getting aid into Gaza. All of this is absolutely vital given the situation, famine in Gaza, hostages who have been held for over 2 years, and thousands of Palestinians who've been held without trial. And of course, there's been famine that has broken out as a result of Israeli measures in much of Gaza. So all of that is extremely welcome if it holds. But we have a sort of partial acceptance of by Hamas of what Donald Trump has proposed. And that in itself was really a half-baked plan as it is. So there's a lot of work to be done to back this all up, because what Donald Trump had put into that 20-point plan alongside Prime Minister Netanyahu really is very vague and I think in large parts unworkable beyond the first stage.
Yes, well, it might not get beyond that because Hamas has not actually said, as far as I'm aware, that it would agree to disarm.
This is absolutely true because in many ways there was very little for Hamas to take out of this proposal that Trump and Netanyahu had put together. It was essentially a surrender or die document, and Hamas were going to give up the hostages, their one and sole card, decommission arms, leave the Gaza Strip to some undesignated country. So it wasn't clear that Hamas as a group had really much going for it within this agreement. And this is the trouble, is Palestinian civilians that I think of over 2 million of them who are waiting for all of these parties to come to an agreement so that they can actually start resuming some sort of life, to try to get food and aid in and medicine, to treat their injured, to find those who've almost certainly been killed and lost under the rubble, and everything else to recover from what has been just the most monstrous 2 years that so many organizations and people, including myself, consider as being a genocide.
One of the proposals is for what's called a credible pathway to Palestinian self-determination and statehood. But Benjamin Netanyahu is publicly said that he is dead set against such a thing.
That's been his consistent position. It's actually in the platform of his governing coalition since it was formed back in January 2023, well before the current phase of the conflict started. And, you know, the reference to Palestinian statehood was so couched in such vague terms, a credible pathway may be reached, that it cannot really be taken terribly seriously. And I think the greatest flaw in the whole of the Trump plan, such as it is, was that there was no Palestinian agency. It created an external body to oversee what would happen in the Gaza Strip. It treats Palestinians as if they're incapable of governing themselves. What there should have been is a proper negotiation where Palestinians were included through the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, so that they have agency over their future, that they can actually determine the way forward for them, hopefully in an independent state. But that wasn't the way. This would have been all controlled by a board of peace run by Donald Trump, including former Prime Minister Tony Blair. Well, that sounded like a neo-colonial project, not one that's designed to bring about freedom and justice and rights for Palestinians, let alone, of course, get Israel any security.
Yeah, do you think it's a bit tin-eared from Tony Blair to have his name associated with this?
Yes, I think that it's very ill-advised, because for both Trump and Blair, the idea that they would be overseeing what happens in Gaza, I mean, they're both busy men, but they don't have any trust on the ground from Palestinians. Everything that they would do would be challenged. They would be blamed for things that would go wrong. And inevitably, after so much infrastructure has been destroyed, so many houses, that they would get huge blame from Palestinians, from the Arab world as well. And frankly, they would look as if they were the new viceroys. It would be another failure for Tony Blair in the Middle East. And let's face it, he's had enough of them.
Can the Palestinians trust that Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza? That is one of the proposals.
Well, I mean, in the Trump proposal, at least, that was actually ruled out, that Israel would not annex Gaza. I mean, as if that is a concession. It's not Israeli territory. It's not theirs to take. They have no sovereign claim to Gaza. But, you know, there is no trust between the parties, of course, and there are members of the Israeli government, its cabinet, who have actively stated that their aim is to do exactly that, to annex parts of Gaza. And in that, they've had some support from people within the Trump administration as well. But I think at the moment, we just have to hope that we get through the first phase of all of this, and that is to get a ceasefire, the aid in, and hostages and detainees out. If we do that, it might create a better climate, hopefully open up space for negotiation for what could be a far more realistic deal. Because in this, actually, it should be an Israeli and an American interest to see Palestinians being able to run Gaza as part of a free, independent Palestinian state, because that's the only way you're going to get security for everybody. Palestinians have got to have their own horizon as well as Israel. And if you exclude them, if you make them subject to some colonial enterprise, as Trump has put forward, that's not going to work. And it's just going to create anger and resentment and fuel the conflict for years to come.
Yet the last part of the proposal that starts Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza ends with, in the middle there's a demilitarization of areas, and the IDF will cede control to the International Security Force, with the exception of a security perimeter presence that will remain until Gaza is properly secure from any resurgent terror threat. That seems a bit woolly.
It's extremely woolly, and we don't even know who would be in this International Stabilization Force. There's no timetable for the various Israeli withdrawals from areas of Gaza, and there's no guarantee they wouldn't go back in. There's no clauses determining on what basis Israel may or may not take military action within Gaza. And one could go on for ages in terms of the elements that should be in this deal, but are not. And it would remain occupied. Israel would not concede in this plan the control of the borders, the control of sea, air. There'd be no port, no airport. So Israel would still maintain effective control over the Gaza Strip, which means it would be still the occupying power, with all that entails legally and morally for the welfare of the people inside Gaza.
Do you think there's too many fuzzy proposals? There's too many sort of get-outs for either one side or the other to cry foul and continue the bloodshed?
Yes, to an extent, though Hamas has very few cards to play. I mean, their only card, of course, are the remaining hostages and the bodies, which, of course, they should never have taken hostages in the first place, and they should be released. There's no question about that. But beyond that, they have no cards to play, really. Netanyahu has far more options. He could basically scotch this deal before it gets off the ground. He could wait until the hostages are released, which obviously Israelis will want to see, and then restart military operations. Or he could actually decide to go through with this whole plan, but he would still end up really still being in control of the Gaza, and there would be no Palestinian state and no meaningful freedom within Gaza. So he has plenty of options under all of this, whereas I'm afraid the Palestinians don't, and they are still going to be fighting for their freedom, fighting for their rights and dignity.
Very good to talk to you, Chris. Thanks so much for that. That's Chris Doyle, commentator on the Middle East and international politics and director of the Council for Arab-British Understanding. 0345 6060 973. Going to take a short break and then back with your thoughts on what you've heard today.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
Why this staggering level of incompetence?
Straight to the point.
This is the economics of the madhouse from this government.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
But she does seem to struggle with her sums.
Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
Calling all black cab drivers. Let's talk about those quieter times when your meter's taking a little nap. Why not consider Uber? We can give your meter a wake-up call. Join close to 1,000 black cab drivers already on Uber and gain access to millions of passengers at the touch of a button. Black cabs on Uber are priced by your meter, and the service fee will be no more than 5% until the end of 2025. Turn downtime into prime time. Go to uber.com/blackcabs to start earning today. Terms and conditions apply.
The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back. Play today with the Chicken Big Mac, so you can win big while tucking into the three layers of soft bun with delicious gherkins, the iconic Big Mac sauce, and crispy tender chicken patties. Go on, it's your go. From 11 a.m. until the 21st of October. Participating restaurants. Subject to availability. App may be required. 18 plus. UK. See mcdrules.co.uk.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
We are talking about the developments about the war in Gaza. The French President Emmanuel Macron says the release of the Israeli captives and a Gaza ceasefire are within reach. He says we now have the opportunity to make decisive progress towards peace. And that France will play its full part in line with its efforts at the United Nations alongside the US, the Israelis, the Palestinians and all of its international partners. Clapham. Hello, Ty.
Hi there.
Ty.
Good morning to you.
Yes, sir.
But did you know, there's nothing new in all those. If you remember the Ba'ath Party in Iraq, they were saying exactly the same thing they were saying now at the Taliban in Afghanistan, they were saying the same thing, no participation in a new government. What we fail to understand, the governors in the Middle East, in the Arab world, and in the Western world, so that's why we're getting it so wrong. Now, for example, when a person goes to war in Arab country, he go as a martyrdom. is not expected to come back home. But when we send our soldier to the war in the West, we put a yellow ribbon around the house, looking forward for them to come back. That is why the ideology doesn't really clash. Most of the people that's commented on your show today, except for one, is only one that have a good prospect about what is happening in Gaza in terms of reality. But the most people that speak from the West point of view are extremely biased. Because what happened is take two to tango. Now, nobody ever tell you how many Israeli soldiers have been killed so far. Because you only hear about how many Gazan people has been killed. Just over 50 or 65,000, I'm hearing.
Yes.
But then the Israel soldiers are getting killed as well. This is a guerrilla's war now. Now, what people don't understand is this. Israel is at loss because their armory has been depleted.
Israel's armory has been depleted?
Of course, because they were firing, they were using the ammunition in five different countries at the same time. And for Americans, war is a business.
Yeah, I don't think that Israel is in danger of running out of munitions, Ty, but thanks for that. Will Todman is Senior Fellow in the Middle East Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, joins us on the line now. Hello, Will.
Hi, Nick.
What are your thoughts about what you've heard today?
It's interesting because we're about to see a real clash in narratives about what's just happened. It seems really clear that Donald Trump wants to say that Hamas have accepted his plan, that the war is over now, and I think he's made it very clear that he would quite like to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. But we've already heard from the Israeli officials that they were hoping that President Trump would consider Hamas's response to actually be a rejection of the plan, because Hamas essentially said yes, but and then they're going to try to negotiate over some of the details. So this could be that we are seeing for the first time President Trump really placing pressure on Netanyahu to actually end this war, and I don't think so far we have really seen that from Trump since he took office in January.
I wasn't aware that the Israelis had responded to Hamas's response, saying that a yes but is actually a no.
Well, this isn't, I should say, this is reporting from Barak Ravid with Axios, who has pretty good connections, I think, with Israeli officials. And he said that privately, Israelis told him that they considered Hamas to have rejected the proposal, that they were, you know, ready to say, okay, we're going to go in and finish the job, as Netanyahu said. But then that Trump's response seems to have taken them somewhat by surprise, because he does seem really keen to claim that this is a victory, that this is now the beginning of the end of the war in Gaza.
Do you think that Hamas's response, as speedy as it was and as positive as it was also something that took Benjamin Netanyahu by surprise?
I think it probably was, because many of the terms of this 20-point peace plan are things that Hamas has really strongly rejected in the past. They have rejected any efforts for disarmament. They certainly do not want their members to be exiled from the Gaza Strip, from what they view as the Palestinian homeland. And so they have previously rejected those things. And so and then the other part was there's a clear timeline on when the hostages have to be released. And so I think the Israelis probably assumed that they would not agree to that. They view the hostages as one of Hamas's last sources of leverage. So, I think it's likely that they were taken by surprise. And then I think they were keen to shape the narrative. And now President Trump has just released a video on Truth Social. He's thanked all of the different Arab countries that helped get to this place. And he really seems to be beginning this victory lap and saying this is nearly over now.
Right. So the way you're telling it, am I right in thinking that you think that the Israelis actually agreed to this plan, assuming that Hamas would not in order to take the moral high ground?
To some degree, but I also think Israel would be quite happy if Hamas agreed to all of these 20 points in the plan, and I don't think Israel believes that Hamas will agree to that. The sort of yes, but response from Hamas is Hamas has said they will release hostages if certain conditions are met. And those conditions likely involve a full Israeli withdrawal that is really unlikely to happen in the next 72 hours or however long the timeline was set for the hostages to be released. So I do think it's going to be hard for Hamas to actually fulfill the terms of this deal. But what is new now is because Trump is claiming this as a victory, I think there is added pressure on the Israelis to go along with this and to try to make this really work. And for the first time, I think it's hard for the Israelis to say that Hamas are the ones that, forced this deal to fall apart. When even though they would have liked to have agreed to Trump's terms. So I do think this puts unprecedented levels of pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu now.
Yes, there's a chap called William Lawrence, who's a Middle East analyst, and he says that he's heard that Trump has people around him who want the Gaza plan to go through against the wishes of Israel and the pro-Israel lobby in the US. He said that people have figured out it's not about finishing the job for Israel, it's about perpetual war, which would sort of fit in with what we were just saying about Israel agreeing to this proposal, expecting Hamas not to.
Yeah, and I think in many ways Trump has more ability to exert leverage over Israel, and specifically over Netanyahu, than most other U.S. presidents. For a Democrat, as soon as a Democrat president like Biden would try to exert leverage on Israel, that he would expect to face fierce opposition from Republicans. But the Republican Party has not really expressed a willingness to go against Trump's desires. So I think he actually can bring the Republican Party along with him by claiming victory here, and sort of so that has given him a unique amount of leverage over the Israelis. And I think that's something that probably Netanyahu has always feared. But until now, I don't believe Trump chose to exercise this leverage. He ultimately seemed happy to allow Israel to strike Iran, to strike Yemen, Syria, Lebanon. I think Qatar was the exception there, where that does seem like that went against Trump's wishes. And perhaps that then begun this new phase where Trump was more willing to try and rein in Netanyahu and his quite risky behavior in the region.
But despite that, do you think that Hamas can actually trust a president of the United States of America, which is a country that has always, almost without condition, supported Israel's actions?
No, I don't think Hamas trusts the U.S. At all. But what is different about this plan that Trump put forward is that it almost immediately got the backing of key Arab and Islamic states across the world. Qatar, Egypt, Jordan, lots of these states signed up to it straight away. So that put a huge amount of pressure on Hamas to agree. Previously, countries in the Middle East have said, the terms are too lopsided towards Israel and they wouldn't sign on to them. But now they have. And so I think that really limited Hamas's options here. And so the only option that it seemed to have in front of it was to publicly agree to the terms of this deal and then to try in the days and weeks ahead to negotiate the best terms they can hope for in when it gets to actually implementing it. And I want to be clear, I think that's going to be very difficult. I don't think this is a done deal at all. I think there are huge pitfalls ahead, many possible areas for this all to fall apart. But for Hamas, they will have then bought themselves some time. And really interestingly, Trump is now saying that they agreed. And I think that does change the dynamics here.
Well, do you think that Trump's saying it in anticipation of them doing that, or he's bullying them into doing that, or they have actually agreed?
Well, I think Trump wants this to be over now. I think he wants to claim a win. He has been looking for big geopolitical wins. And although he likes to say that he has forged lots of peace deals, in reality, that, you know, he hasn't had any really major ones yet. Clearly, Ukraine has proved a lot more difficult than he expected. He said he'd solve it on day one. So I think now he has reached the point where he thinks Israel has achieved enough of its aims. There's a chance now that the pressure on Hamas is strong enough to actually force it to release these hostages. And that this could set off now a new, you know, phase of this where ultimately we are talking more about the terms of peace, a cessation of fighting in the short term. And I think Trump thought that was worth pushing for. But as always, when you declare victory too early in a conflict, it can really backfire. And this could well flare up again. And then I think it will be on Trump to work out how he's going to depict it. Does he say, I've tried, I'm giving up now, this is hopeless, and maybe he completely turns away from it? Or does he blame one of the sides over the other? And previously he had said he would give Israel his full backing if Hamas refused. So this may be the precursor to him saying, okay, now Israel, you can do whatever you want in Gaza. I've tried, Hamas are impossible. So I think there are still some many different ways this could all play out. But I do think this is one of the first times that we've seen Trump really exercise the leverage that he has.
Very good to talk to you, Will. Thanks so much for that. That's Will Todman, Senior Fellow in the Middle East Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Now, we are going to take a short break for the news. Be interested to hear what your thoughts are on what's happened. Trump has released an audio statement on Truth Social, and we will have that for you after this news update with Tim Daly.
The Prime Minister is saying he strongly supports President Trump's peace efforts in the Middle East, and the Hamas acceptance of a US peace plan is a significant step forwards. Sir Keir Starmer has issued a statement after the Palestinian group announced it will agree to some aspects of Donald Trump's peace plan. The family of the worshipper shot by police during the Manchester synagogue attack on Thursday says he died a hero while trying to save others. Adrian Dolby was hit by fire from an armed officer as they were targeting 35-year-old Jihad al-Shami. And for the second time in under 24 hours, Munich's airport has been shut down after more suspected drone sightings. The authorities there say the reports on Friday evening were unconfirmed and the measures were taken as a precaution. LBC weather, stormy for northern parts of the UK overnight, especially western and northern Scotland. Heavy rain will move across much of the country as well, and we'll see a low of around 8 degrees.
This is LBC.
Let me gaze into my crystal ball. I see a new flashy car. You're driving it off the forecourt, imagining how jealous your neighbours will be. Then, bam, somebody hits you. You think, it'll be fine. I've got fully comprehensive car insurance. But fully comp won't pay out what your car was worth before you drove it away. LA Gap Insurance would fill that void. Now I see you searching for ALA.co.uk tonight. ALA. Fortune favours the insured.
Brands that use radio are 49% more likely to get noticed. Amplify your advertising at radiocentre.org. Assuming you want to get noticed.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
So, as I mentioned before, Donald Trump has released a video on his Truth Social website, and here is the sound from that.
I want to thank the countries that helped me put this together. Qatar, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and so many others. So many people fought so hard. This is a big day. We'll see how it all turns out. We have to get the final word down in concrete. Very importantly, I look forward to having the hostages come home to their parents and having some of the hostages, unfortunately, you know the condition they're in, come home likewise to their parents, because their parents wanted them just as much as though that young man or young woman were alive. So I just want to let you know that this is a very special day, maybe unprecedented in many ways. It is unprecedented. But thank you all, and thank you all to those great countries that helped. We were given a tremendous amount of help. Everybody was unified in wanting this war to end and seeing peace in the Middle East. And we're very close to achieving that. Thank you all, and everybody will be treated fairly.
That's Donald Trump, the audio of a video that he just put out on social media, well, his own social media site called Truth Social. Let's talk about that with Matthew Shoemaker. Matthew is an intelligence and national security expert and political commentator. Joins us on the line now. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, pleasure to be with you.
Thanks for your time. What do you make of what Donald Trump just said?
Yeah, as I was just listening to it now, and as I've been following it throughout the day, what struck me most was how this really, the presentation of it more than anything, really is more of a businessman's style more than anything, because more than anything, Hamas has agreed in principle to the general agreement, but there are many elements to it that Hamas has said that they don't agree with and that they would only agree to with amendments. So it seems like President Trump is certainly getting ahead of himself, almost the same way that in business, businessmen oftentimes like to tout initial agreements rather than once they've actually been firmed up and hammered out.
Yeah, there seems to be woolly phraseology in this proposal, and some things that almost look as though they're an off-ramp for the Israeli government to say, well, you know, we tried, but they didn't comply with, you know, all of the proposal's tenets. For example, number one in this 20-point plan is Gaza will be a de-radicalized, terror-free zone. How will they determine that?
That is a great question, and I think that really is going to be a sticking point more than anything. There are numerous aspects to these 20 points, which are quite a lot just for this stage of the negotiations. More than anything, it really comes down to what the later determinations are going to be. That's why this agreement in principle, you know, could be seen as a step in the right direction. But by all means, we are not anywhere close to a final agreement on this. One of the sticking points just in the past few hours has been the practicality and the logistics of getting the hostages out of Gaza themselves. The 20-point plan calls for them to be released, both the living and the deceased hostages to be released within 72 hours. It's certainly extremely difficult to do that when bombs are falling, and equally just as difficult for the deceased hostages to presumably be dug up. Where they are, you know, be found, dug up, and then returned all within a 72-hour period. So there's quite a few elements of this that are going to need a lot more hashed out to determine what exactly is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, presumably that what you just described is why Hamas have said that 72 hours to return all the hostages or the remains of those dead is unreasonable or not workable.
Absolutely. And so to your earlier question about whether or not this allows Israel to save face, that's certainly a possibility for it, especially based off of how Israel's right-wing government seems to be perfectly happy continuing the war at all efforts. But I think more than anything, that the Israeli population is certainly starting to get tired of this war. So whether or not the Israelis choose to continue it, this certainly does give them an off-ramp if they want to at least tone down activities in Gaza itself. Their military and their infantry are certain to get exhausted more than anything, but this certainly would present an opportunity for them to tone things down.
Can you understand the Palestinians' reluctance to accept an interim government, this supposed board of peace, which is headed by the president of the United States of America, a country that has always had Israel's corner.
Absolutely. And so when the United States is currently one of the few countries that are backing the Israelis as strongly as they have been, the Palestinians themselves are certainly going to be extraordinarily skeptical that the United States has the Palestinian people's best interests at heart. So I think that's one reason why we've taken so long, certainly, to get to this place, not even considering how obstinate Hamas is, just based off of its own internal structure and its desire to see the end of Israel itself. So there's a lot of problems certainly going forward with regards to this. The Palestinian people, more than anything, they certainly more than anything want to see the bombing stop and return back to some sense of normalcy.
Yes, and people have mentioned frequently that Benjamin Netanyahu, it's in his interest for the war to continue because he has a lot of charges leveled against him, which may or may not lead to actual jail time. But all of that is put on the back burner while this or any other war that Israel engages in continues. But you could also say the same for Hamas, could you not? That, one of the proposals is that Hamas agree not to have any role in the governance of Gaza. So they're essentially being required not just to put down their weapons, but to put down any political power that they might have.
Yes, and I think one thing that so often gets lost in the discussion about the Gaza war is, especially in the media, how it's often tried to be portrayed as a good versus evil, the good versus bad sort of mentality. I think that this, as you're alluding to in this discussion, is that there really are no good actors per se in this situation, in terms of at least where it is at this present time. We can certainly have the discussion about how this all started and who was right and who was wrong, but at least in its current iteration, there doesn't seem to be any sort of innocent people or innocent governments, if you will, at this point in time.
And what do you make of the proposal that Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza? I mean, is that likely?
I would find it much more likely that the Israelis continue to occupy at least some element to it. If they really wanted to, they would probably end up trying to incorporate elements of Gaza into it in the same way that they tried to incorporate elements of the West Bank into their own spheres of influence without at least legally speaking absorbing it into Israel proper. So whether or not that really happens is really up in the air more than anything. But based off of the current makeup of the Israeli government, I wouldn't put it past them to at least try to maintain as much control over it as they possibly can.
Good to talk to you, Matthew. Thanks very much for that. That's Matthew Shoemaker, intelligence and national security expert and political commentator. So, your thoughts on what you've heard today. Do you think that this is a positive step forwards, or is it perhaps likely to end in disappointment? Because one side or the other is bound to break one or more of these proposals, giving the other side the excuse it perhaps needs or wants to continue. 0345-6060-973. Notting Hill. Hello, John.
Oh, hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Right. Yeah, as I was saying to you, your researcher, the question I was asking myself, a few days ago, about a week ago, was why did this agreement idea be raised at this exact time? Why did it suddenly come out? It seemed to me to come out of the blue.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was thinking of was that, well, what is the real progress of the war in Gaza? Because it now seems to have reached a stage where this fighting at arm's length is no longer effective. In other words, you have bombing and all that sort of thing. But if you're going to have to meet the enemy face to face, that does not suit the Israelis at all, because they cannot sustain any great losses because of the small size of the army and things like that and the effect on public opinion. So that was one of the first things I was thinking, as to maybe they thought the peace agreement needed something to distract attention and maybe come up with another approach to this.
Right, because the nature of urban warfare, you mean? Because
and
that's...
not yes, and you see the state of the place. It's an ideal ground for the individual roaming around through all of that wreckage and all that sort of thing. It makes guerrilla warfare, whatever you want to call it, much easier.
Yes.
But the other thing I was thinking of and been looking at American digital media, was the support for Israel amongst the younger generation has really plummeted.
Mm.
So that the things like AIPAC, which are dominant in American politics at the moment with regard to Israel, that cannot last into the future, I would think. The amount of money that the American taxpayer is paying for all of this stuff in the Middle East.
Yes.
Can that continue? And the younger generation seem to be turning against it morally and also from a taxpayer's point of view.
Well, yes, it's not really America first, which is what Donald Trump is supposedly all about.
All of these commentators on this media stuff, they're saying that exactly what they're saying. You know, we should be spending tax money on Americans, not on people. They've a good health system in Israel. He said our Medicaid system is pretty awful. So there's a time limit to how long you can, control the Congress and the Senate and all that sort of thing. The generations pass on. So it made me wonder that this thing was bigger than I realized at first.
Yes. Interesting. Thanks for that, John. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
With the Conservative Party conference starting tomorrow, Kemi Badenoch has pledged that her party will take the UK out of the European Convention on Human Rights. Could that be a vote winner?
Clive Bull on LBC.
I'm telling you, raise taxes, that's how.
Cut spending, less waste, more sense.
Move north, get more for your money.
Until winter hits your heating bill.
Fair.
Up to 9.13% annual return. We all agree that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to ignore.
Cufflink. Auto-invest property-backed from £500. Visit cufflink.com. That's Cufflink. Register your interest today. Your capital is at risk. Tax rules apply to IF ISAs and may be subject to change. Cufflink is authorised and regulated by the FCA.
For stunning retirement apartments to buy or rent, search McCarthy Stone or call 0800 153 3055.
Welcome on board this LNER service from London King's Cross to Edinburgh. My name's Paul, your train manager today, and hang on, is that a Scrabble tournament in coach here? Yes, G with an X is a word. Right, we're cruising at 125 miles per hour, same speed this lad next to me is typing. Someone's on a roll! The cafe bar's in coach G if you fancy a brew, or if you're mid-box set binge, just order through the QR code at your seat. We'll deliver it. So sit back and enjoy your journey. With LNER, it's freedom all the way.
This year, Amazon are increasing the electric delivery vehicles we use across Europe to 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of. Where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts. And where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden.
Can they have their ball back, please?
We're delivering change where it matters. On your doorstep. Delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
We are talking about the prospect to the end of the war in Gaza. Hamas said it would agree to some aspects of the US plan to end the Gaza war, including releasing the hostages and handing over administration of the enclave. It objected to some of the names of the that administration, the Board for Peace. Donald Trump wants to be the head of it, and Tony Blair wants to be a part of it, and those two names have been rejected by at least one member of Hamas. Let's hear from Ranjit Oldbury.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for taking my call. Just on what Donald Trump just said, on his platform, I thought that was his speech that he's accepted the Nobel Peace Prize, to be honest with you. That's
I think that speech Sanders. Will go on considerably longer than that short clip.
Yeah, okay. Right, you know Donald Trump's favourite word is reciprocal and the other one's tariff, yeah? Mm. Now, to get some peace, right, it can happen, but Donald Trump is not should not be the leader of it, right? You need to have people like, okay, Tony Blair, you can have him, probably Mark Carney, somebody from Europe, like Macron. Mm.
Not Tony Blair. That's it's remarkable that his name has even been suggested.
He did do the Northern Ireland one with Bill Clinton, right?
But he has a very bad reputation in that area of the map. With
okay,
the Iraq
excluding
war.
Anyway, then, it's like, you know, when you go by trial by jury, yeah, you can get rid eliminate right. people, okay? Mm-hmm. You need the... What's happened? You know, this week, when Benjamin Netanyahu apologised to Qatar, I knew there was something fishy going on that day, right? Because what's happening is Qatar is moving towards Russia and BRICS, right, which will affect the American economy, and that is what Trump is afraid of at the moment. Trump isn't holding all the cards at the moment, it's Qatar, right? And the thing is, if you're going to do it fairly, Benjamin Netanyahu will have to leave Israel as well, and then Hamas will have to leave Palestine. Bring in the UN, right, in Palestine and in Israel, and bring in interim government, right, and then start negotiating. And Trump, all he wants to be is, I'm the big guy that sorted this out. No, he's not. I mean, I'd have John Major, because John Major, even though he's a Tory, he's quite a sensible person. Mark Carney, he's intelligent, right, Macron. And then somebody from Asia... I don't think the Chinese president will get involved. The Indian prime minister may get involved, but I doubt it. But you need some people from that side as well. You need to have a balanced playing field, yeah, where everybody agrees. Now, if Netanyahu, because he's trying to avoid jail, the only way out for him is to exile himself to America, which isn't the best deal, right, but it gets him out of Israel. And that way, if I was talking to Hamas, I'd say, right, we got rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. He hasn't been punished, but he's been exiled from the country he was born in. Now you need to leave Palestine. Now how are we going to move forward? That's how negotiations happen, Nick. They don't happen by saying, oh, well, you know what, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. No. If I was Hamas, I'd just say no. I'd turn this deal flat down, because at the end of the day, each Palestinian that leaves Gaza, I will bet you, will not be able to return.
Well, it says quite specifically, no one will be forced to leave Gaza, and those who wish to leave will be free to do so and free to return. So if they're going to agree to all the points, that is one of them. But an interesting take. Thanks, Ranjit. The director of the Atlantic Council's Middle East Security Initiative, who served as the Deputy National Intelligence Officer for the Near East at the U.S. National Intelligence Council, is Jonathan Panikoff, and he joins us on the phone now. Good evening, Jonathan.
Hello, good morning to you all.
Thanks for your time. What do you make of what's happened today?
Well, I think it's got potential positive notes on it. I think the question is going to be where the reactions actually end up being. We've seen President Trump's, there's already here in Washington some question about whether there's confusion about what Hamas said versus how it's been interpreted by the White House. In other words, confusion about the sequencing of Hamas releasing hostages versus intra-Palestinian dialogue. But there's also challenges because among the 20 points, of course, was this issue of disarmament. It has been one of the two key points. Prime Minister Netanyahu has always said that if Hamas disarms and releases the hostages, the war can end tomorrow. That obviously is not part of the statement. And so I think Netanyahu believed this was going to be a take it or leave it proposition for Hamas. Hamas unsurprisingly came back and didn't feel that way and is trying to renegotiate it. And Trump seemingly has opened the door to it. So I think there's going to be quite a bit to be worked out here over the next 12 to 24 hours before we get actual clarity on what's possible and what's not.
Do you think that Benjamin Netanyahu has been somewhat surprised by the speed of developments?
I think he's been quite surprised by President Trump's reaction. I've spoken to a couple of folks in the Arab world, a couple of folks in Israel, and everything I can gather is surprised by Prime Minister Netanyahu that President Trump was so positive to Hamas's reaction, and that's caused some alarm about whether or not questions of disarmament, whether or not questions of Hamas, who does not agree to peaceful coexistence, as point six in the 20-point plan said, actually is going to be compelled to leave the Gaza Strip. I think that is going to really cause some challenges down the road. I think it surprised Prime Minister Netanyahu. And so that's why I think it's going to take a little while to work through this in the coming day or so.
What do you make of the reported comments from those surrounding Donald Trump that the Americans have got tired of Benjamin Netanyahu's antics, was the word they used?
Well, I think that probably has at least a veneer of accuracy. Look, I think it's really worth remembering that at the end of President Trump's first term, he and Prime Minister Netanyahu, frankly, had a terrible relationship. There's a significant number of quotes that have been given by President Trump about very dispositive feelings toward Prime Minister Netanyahu. I think there's a frustration that Prime Minister Netanyahu has sought to keep having a middle ground so that he could not go along with what Prime Minister, with what President Trump wanted. If, say, not everything was exactly as Prime Minister Netanyahu preferred, if Hamas didn't, for instance, agree to all the points, which may be where we are today. And I think the administration, remember, is quite split. You have a lot of folks who have been far less supportive of the U.S. using military support to defend Israel, both during Iran, allowing U.S. military support to go after and continue the war in the Palestinian territories. There's a big MAGA movement here, both in the White House and in the U.S. And many of those, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a congresswoman from Georgia, is a prime example, who have come out, a Republican, and said, no, what Israel is doing is genocide. The U.S. is making a mistake for supporting it. And I think that's growing on the right as well.
Yes, it doesn't really feed in with the sort of America first policy of MAGA, does it?
No, I think it probably doesn't. And this is where, look, in the U.S. at least, and I think other countries are getting there, including in the U.K., we've moved from a linear ideological spectrum of left to right to, frankly, something more akin to a horseshoe, where folks in the MAGA are kind of on one side toward the top and folks on the far left are towards the other. And you have a more isolationist bent and a less interventionist bent aligning on the kind of far left and far right. And then you have more of the traditional centrists and center left, center right, kind of in the middle. Lindsey Graham, a prominent senator here, really was lamenting Hamas's response, frankly. That's obviously different than where President Trump ended up this evening in his own statement.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Republican Party seemed to be marching in lockstep behind Donald Trump, and it was very difficult to find anybody that disagreed with him publicly about anything. But now there seems to be people splintering off.
I think that's right, and we've seen this coming for a little while. I think probably Iran was an even more prominent example. You had a large number of folks within the U.S. administration, for instance, who were against U.S. striking Iran and U.S. striking the Fordo nuclear facility in support of Israel's efforts to diminish Iran's nuclear capability. I think it's only logical to assume that that's going to extend and continue to extend. I think the relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a bit more of an open question here, not just on the left, but even on the right, than it has been for a number of years. And the longer the war in Gaza continues, continues, the more likely I think you are to see additional folks come out and split. That doesn't mean I think they're going to say, I don't want Trump as president, or I don't agree with Trump on most things. I think they'll caution it and be cautious, as Marjorie Taylor Greene has been, about how they frame it. But you are seeing some of those divisions gain traction here within the political ecosystem of the U.S.
Very good to talk to you, Jonathan. Thanks so much for that. That's Jonathan Panikoff, director of the Atlantic Council's Middle East Security Initiative, who served as the Deputy National Intelligence Officer for the Near East at the U.S. National Intelligence Council. Well, that's it from me. Thanks so much for your calls and your messages. I'm really sorry I couldn't get to everybody's, but there'll be plenty of opportunities to talk about this subject on LBC in the near future, of course. In the meantime, if you missed any of this show and wish to listen back, you can on Global Player or the new LBC app, on which you can read and watch the latest from LBC. You can put your news categories in the order you want. You can pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts, in amongst which you'll find all of mine. You can get it for free, the new LBC app, from your app store now. I'll be back tonight at 10. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Early Breakfast with Ian Payne. But first, here's Clive Ball.
Nick, thank you. Coming up after the news at 1, with the Conservative Party conference starting tomorrow, Kemi Badenoch has pledged that her party will take the UK out of the European Convention on Human Rights if they win the next election. Could that win back disaffected Tory voters, or do her pledges not really mean much? We will come back to the Gaza peace deal a little later on. Could this be a genuine breakthrough? And also, Sean Diddy Combs has been sentenced to more than 4 years in prison for sex offences. We'll have the latest on that. And as the shift to electric vehicles continues, a new car tax plan would charge vehicles by their weight. That and more after the news at 1 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. The Prime Minister says he strongly supports President Trump's peace efforts in Gaza, and the Hamas acceptance of a US peace plan is a significant step forwards. Sir Keir Starmer's issued a statement after the Palestinian group announced it will agree to some aspects of Donald Trump's plan. The US President has also released a statement online this morning.
I want to thank the countries that helped me put this together. Qatar, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and so many others. So many people fought so hard. This is a big day. We'll see how it all turns out. We have to get the final word down in concrete.
Witnesses have said Israeli military planes intensified their bombing of Gaza City in the hours after Hamas issued its statement. Strikes have also been reported at Khan Yunis. President Trump says he believes Hamas is ready for a lasting peace. But Chris Doyle at the CARB for Council for Arab-British Understanding has been telling LBC Washington's peace plan is littered with flaws.
That in itself was really a half-baked plan as it is. So there's a lot of work to be done to back this all up, because what Donald Trump had put into that 20-point plan alongside Prime Minister Netanyahu really is very vague, and I think in large parts unworkable beyond the first stage.
The family of the worshipper shot by police during the Manchester synagogue attack on Thursday say he died a hero while trying to save others. Adrian Dolby was hit by fire from an armed officer as they were targeting 35-year-old Jihad al-Shami, but the former head of the flying squad at the Metropolitan Police, Roy Lamb, has been telling LBC Greater Manchester's officers did a good job.
I think the police got there quickly. I think that they were robust. They were faced with a very difficult situation. This guy was apparently purporting to be wearing a suicide belt. That in itself presents a huge problem.
And the leader of the Conservatives says membership of the European Convention on Human Rights has made it impossible for the UK to control its sovereign borders. Kemi Badenoch has announced the UK would leave the ECHR if her party can get back into government. There'll be more on this over the next few hours with Clive Bull here on LBC. LBC weather stormy for northern parts of the UK overnight, especially for western and northern Scotland. Heavy rain rain will also move across much of the country before clear spells and blustery showers develop later. We'll see a low of around 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Clive Ball.
And a very good morning to you. I'm Clive Bull with you here on LBC through till four. I am here on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday morning, and it's Saturday morning, 3 minutes past one, with you through till four. We have lots to talk about this morning. I will take you through some of the things. You've been hearing a lot of coverage with Nick Abbott over the last couple of hours about the Gaza peace deal. We will be coming back to that because that is a very significant piece of news, and we will be pulling that apart and seeing whether we can really consider it a genuine breakthrough or not. Very keen to have your comments on that one. By the way, if you hear anything between now and four that you want to comment on, we're very flexible. We'll find space for you one way or another. If you send in a message, I will do my best to include all the messages that come in that are suitable for reading out. And if you can call in, then so much the better, when we can have a conversation on the usual number. So Gaza deal, we'll certainly be talking about that this morning. Also, the Conservative Party conference. I spent quite a bit of time this time last weekend talking about Labour and their prospects and Keir Starmer and his performance. So I think it's only fair that we look at the other parties as well. And the Conservative Party conference gets underway tomorrow, i.e. Sunday. And Kemi Badenoch has got in early with a big pledge that she's going to take the UK out of the European Convention on Human Rights if they win the next election. Is that the sort of thing, is that position that she's taking there, is her general direction, could that win back, do you think, disaffected Tory voters, or is she wasting her breath? I'd like to talk about that this morning and get your opinion on that. Also, we'll be crossing to the States later. Sean Diddy Combs has been sentenced to more than 4 years in prison for sex offences. We'll have the latest on that. And amongst other things to talk about later on as well, car tax. Car tax is going to have to change. The shift to electric vehicles, which despite all of the worries and concerns and the negative press, the figures are at record levels. And in fact, there are new figures out this morning, which I'll tell you about later on. But electric vehicles are gradually taking over. So a new car tax plan is in the offing. This latest proposal would charge vehicles by their weight and the number of miles that they are driven. So I'll tell you more about how that might work. And I'd like to know from you, what is the best way, do you think, in future to replace car tax and fuel duty? Fuel duty, of course, might be a bit irrelevant because we might not be putting fuel in our cars, and we're certainly putting less of it in at the moment. And if we go all the way with EV, then we're going to have to think of a new way of raising money. The government is not going to manage without the fuel duty, the money, the equivalent money from fuel duty. So I'd like to talk about that as well. Lots to talk about between now and four. Do join in. If you can call in, that would be great. We can have a conversation. The number is 0345 6060 973. You can, if you can't call in, you can WhatsApp, send a written message typed into WhatsApp on the same number. That does work. You can't call in on the via WhatsApp, but you can call in on a normal phone or a mobile phone on that number. Text in 84850, and you can talk into an Alexa and say, Alexa, send a comment to LBC. So lots of ways to get in touch. Let's kick off with Kemi Badenoch and the Conservatives. What would have been probably quite a big announcement, but
is probably overshadowed by lots of other news. And frankly, the Tory conference probably will be to a certain extent as well. But it gets underway on Sunday. As I say, it's their turn in the spotlight. And I imagine that she must feel like she has to do something dramatic, because her party is seemingly sinking further and further. Being replaced, some would say merging, I'm not sure which way you look at it, with Reform. Certainly judging by those who are jumping ship and joining Reform, you might think, well, they're sort of being replaced or merged, one of the two. And apparently the party is on alert. The Conservative Party is on alert for more Tory names who would want to announce their defection at the most embarrassing time, i.e. during the Tory conference. So I think we can expect more Tories to be basically deciding which way their bread is buttered and going with Reform, because they think that's a safer bet to keep their job. So a few hours ago, Kemi Badenoch announced that she's coming out of the European Court of Human Rights. Critics have pointed out that she was previously not in favour of doing so, although she says that it was always a consideration, and actually it was a bit of a defining difference between the Conservatives and Reform at the time. But she now says that they've taken a much closer, serious look at the issue, and there's been a detailed legal review by the Shadow Attorney General, Lord Wolfson, and he has concluded that the CHR places significant constraints